It's the best bike vacation ever.
3 days of cycling in the Sierra foothills, camping under the stars, catered gourmet meals, entertainment, and in-camp activities.
It's the 20th annual Emigrant Trails Bike Trek,
Friday, September 8th through Sunday, September 10th. This excellent adventure attracts over 400 bicycle riders and helps support Breathe California Sacramento's efforts to improve air quality in our area and to work to eliminate lung disease. Make your plans now and start raising much-needed funds by registering today at sacbreathe.org or by calling 916-444-5900. You can ride as an individual or put together a team of co-workers or friends. Travel at your own pace through stunning scenery, then relax in a camp with massage, yoga, or a beverage from the cantina. Free training rides prepare you for the best bike vacation ever. The 20th Annual Emigrant Trails Bike Trek, September 8th through September 10th. 3 days of cycling, camping, and fun. Go to sacbreathe.org or call 916-444-5900 and sign up today.
1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Cammy McCormick. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is preparing to head to the Middle East on Sunday. CBS News reporter Charles Wolfson has more from the State Department.
Rice answered critics who say she already should have gone to the region to begin shuttle-style diplomacy. It took meetings over the past few days to begin to get a framework for what the secretary calls a durable and lasting peace.
What I won't do is go someplace and try to get a ceasefire that I know isn't going to last.
Rice said she'll work with other nations to create a robust international force in southern Lebanon to prevent Hezbollah from carrying out attacks. Charles Wolfson, CBS News, the State Department.
CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv has reaction from Tel Aviv.
Everything Rice said was exactly what Israel wanted to hear. No point of a ceasefire without lasting steps against terrorism. And Israel's top general, Dan Halutz, said the Secretary of State will be welcome when she comes to Israel early next week, but he added she doesn't have the right to stop the Israeli army. That's up to the Israeli government. There's almost universal support here for keeping on with the push against Hezbollah, but not a massive invasion.
I'm Robert Berger on the Israel-Lebanon border. 10 tanks are standing by here waiting for the order to move into Lebanon. That was the sound of Israeli artillery lobbing shells across the border. I can see the shells when they land. It makes a plume of smoke and fire. In fact, there are fires burning all over inside Israel and also in Lebanon from the shelling.
A powerful storm swept through the Midwest again today in St. Charles, Missouri. It left a mess behind. Mayor Patty York.
Street lights out. Traffic is a nightmare. People have all kind of left work and are trying to get home. We're putting up temporary stop signs as everywhere that we can.
And now even more people have lost power. Tim Fox is a spokesman for Ameren Power Company.
We currently have about 570,000 customers in Missouri and Illinois without service.
St. Louis was already under a state of emergency because thousands had lost power and a dangerous heat wave was continuing. A former Navy Academy quarterback acquitted of raping a female midshipman will not face any punishment. Lamar Owens was convicted of lesser charges.
You've got to remember that passengers are the future of this business.
Oscar-nominated actor Jack Warden has died. One of his most famous roles was in Shampoo alongside Warren Beatty. His breakthrough role was 1957's 12 Angry Men.
He presented himself as a kind of everyman. I think that's why everybody could relate to him.
Film critic Leonard Maltin, Warden was 85. On Wall Street today, the Dow finished the week on a sour note, down 59 points at 10,868, and the NASDAQ was off by 19. This is CBS News.
Where do you want to be?
Everybody has a different idea of the perfect home.
Now that the kids are grown, we want a smaller place.
We really need more room. There's a baby on the way.
I'll take a place with a garage for my new baby.
Find your perfect place. It's easy at REMAX.com. Now REMAX.com has more home listings to choose from than ever. Nobody sells more real estate than REMAX. Each office independently owned and operated.
found a great summer hotel deal.
Let me guess. Your parents' house.
No. Priceline has the top 50 vacation spots up to 50% off.
Places we actually want to go?
Soho, New York.
Yeah?
The Strip in Vegas.
Ooh.
Waikiki, Hawaii.
Up to 50% off?
When you name your own price. Check out all 50 spots on Priceline.
Oh. I'm guessing your parents' house didn't make the list.
The 50-50 hotel savings event. Only on Priceline. More ways to save. Exact hotel shown only after purchase.
What have we learned from past hurricanes? One major lesson, according to Congressional Hurricane Rita, 23 elderly people died. That fire was fueled by their oxygen tanks. That meeting will address transporting people with special needs during emergencies. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
The following...
Hey, you streaming listeners, open your media player and click on the link to NoHaggleMortgage.com right now, and you can save thousands on your mortgage loan. It's simple, easy, and takes less than 30 seconds. For the first time, homeowners can now have direct access to the same rates that mortgage brokers get.
That's right, the same rates that mortgage brokers get.
Three things allow NoHaggleMortgage.com to get the lowest mortgage rates in the industry.
One,
no commissions to pay to loan officers.
Two,
most of the work is done over the internet, saving you a lot of money.
Three,
no haggling. Click on the link now, then click on Quick Quote to find out what rate you can get. Get your money faster and save thousands. No gimmicks, no middleman, no haggling. Just simple, fast, friendly, low-rate mortgage loans. Skip the loan officer. Go direct to NoHaggleMortgage.com. You're already online. Take 30 seconds and find out for yourself. Or go to NoHaggleMortgage.com. Check it out today. Licensed by the DOC.
White House Press Secretary Tony Snow made this startling statement.
Here's the unmentionable secret. Racism isn't that big a deal anymore.
It's a shocking thing to say, but it brings up an important point. Racism is in danger. Won't you please give to the fund to save racism?
Racism is in danger? But I thought that under President Bush, black people had been steadily losing ground economically. Hey... That must mean they're all on welfare.
Now, there's the attitude. We can save racism if we all work together. Well, not all of us, obviously. You know, the right kind of people. Know what I'm saying?
But I don't want to go back to the days of separate but equal. Can't we come up with a system of separate but unequal?
Absolutely. Republicans have a plan for the 21st century, and it looks a lot like the 19th century. Please help save racism, because a closed mind is a terrible thing to waste.
First, let me make it very clear, poor people aren't necessarily killers.
And with leadership like that, how could we go wrong? For the lady that takes ephedrine or pseudoephedrine for her sinus, you can still keep your pills. I just researched it, and there's no problem with the pharmaceutical manufacturing and the handing out of that to you by prescription. No, the problem is the over-the-counter, putting it on the shelves where people can get at it so that they can crush it and make methamphetamine out of it. So you get to keep your pills, all right, you get to keep them. Yep. Yeah. So it looks like when the third-ranking guy from the DEA who cured us of the Quaalude epidemic looked into the methamphetamine epidemic, what he found was that the problem was not in the prescription part of the deal. The problem was when cold and sinus manufacturers, you know, of over-the-counter stuff started putting it on the counter. People started either buying it in large quantities or stealing it to the point where sometimes they put it behind the counter now to make it harder for you to steal, but you can still buy. And actually, the guy from the, his name is Haslip, Mr. Haslip, who figured all this out, he said that the problem was not the prescription that helps the woman who called. The problem was that the supplies of ephedrine and pseudoephedrine tablets over the counter were being used as part of the recipe. And he said that they got some legislation in 1995 regulating ephedrine pills. And he said there was even a problem negotiating that law because of the lobbying that went on the part of the people that make the cold medicine over the and want to put it over the counter. He said they did get increased authority up to a certain level. They started to have success in this area. And at first, with domestic suppliers, they found that there were so-called firms that had been set up that were primarily supplying tablets only to the traffickers. And he said he recalls a deal in Florida where the traffickers actually asked, would you stop putting the binder in these tablets because it makes it more difficult for us to use them. So they started producing ephedrine tablets without binder so it would be easier for the drug traffickers to convert it and use it. All they now had to do was crush the pills. And he said he started to try to counter that. And they made some good investigations, and they got some good prosecutions. And he goes, so what do you think happened next? He goes, of course, they went overseas, and they started to branch out into overseas areas, and they were having some measurable success. And I guess the big problem finally came in 1996. Really, he said, by the time we had not only succeeded by essentially controlling and eliminating ephedrine powder and pseudoephedrine powder and ephedrine tablets, but the major sources of supply had become pseudoephedrine tablets, very common, the stuff that you find in over-the-counter medicine. He said, so we needed a regulation on wholesale pseudoephedrine pill sellers. So I proposed a regulation, and they sort of hit the ceiling. He said, certainly they know how to do their business, and they lodged some very effective complaints against those regulations, talking about the lobbyists for the over-the-counter cold medications. He said, but nevertheless, I remember I got them cleared by the White House. They went into force. It was enacted. It was the first time in my entire career I ever saw a DEA regulation eliminated by an act of Congress, because essentially the decision was made to give everyone a year to adjust to the new controls. He said, look, that gave legitimate people a year to adjust, but on the other hand, it gave the traffickers a year to adjust, and that's exactly what they did. He said, I don't want to make this personal, but I felt a little bitterness. We had a regulation. It would have helped us a lot, but there was delay, and it was a setback of sorts. Finally, we did get it, and it did come home after a year. I wasn't there to see it, but it did happen. And so the people from Frontline asked Mr. Haslip, did the new regulation help once it became effective? He said, I think we really finally did make this law march. It had a dramatic effect. The whole problem began to chase the traffickers as they tried to find their adjustments. And I've described some of those one by one. Well, then, there have been others to occur later that were also important, but I think the first one was in Canada. We began to see substantial quantities of tablets being smuggled across the Canadian border, and it was clear that a significant portion of the methamphetamine traffickers and manufacturers had turned to that source of supply. Canada was the weak link. Canada had a weak law. Canada wasn't giving attention to this, and it was well known. The next thing that happened is that the Mexicans, once again, were able to recoup their loss of supplies by turning to other sources. They could no longer obtain their powder from the sources that we identified and visited, like India. So they were essentially out of it for a while. They were essentially using pills like everybody else was, but I think they found new ways to get back into the loop by turning to some other sources that they had not previously used in Asia. And as always, they were trying to reestablish their lines of supplies, and you have to keep chasing them, and that's the only way to be effective. And he goes on and on about, you know, you can't do this unless you take the over-the-counter pills out of the marketplace. And if you did that, and you controlled the borders and enforced the law that we have that says, you know, you can do it for prescription drug, but you can't sell this stuff over the counter. He said every time they were able to stop selling this stuff over the counter, and they were able to stop using ephedrine for over the counter cold medicines. And the research showed that when the ephedrine came, you know, out of the marketplace for people to grab them or buy them and crush them up and blah, 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 that the potency of the methamphetamine would go down, and just magically, you would see the number of people using methamphetamine go down naturally because they wouldn't get the desired result from the stuff they were buying. But then the cold medicine people changed from ephedrine to pseudoephedrine, which also creates potent methamphetamine by crushing it and making the, you know, the concoction that they cook. And he said if you take those off the counter, you would see the decrease again. But the loophole was they banned ephedrine, and then they started with pseudoephedrine. And he said it did the same thing. So, you know, look, there are people that think about this stuff. There are people that are dedicated to this stuff. He said there is no substitute for the kind of work that the DEA does, but they're just really a small little, you know, part of our police, our policing ability. And he says, but, you know, unless you get this stuff taken, off of our counters in the drugstores. And he said, but the cold medicine lobby is so unbelievably powerful that the woman who needs the prescription form could still get the prescription form. But the over-the-counter, like, I feel bad because, like, right now, there's Sudafed in my little first aid drawer because I get like that. And someone, Mr. Manzo told me it's very annoying when your nose is all stuffed up like that. So I want you to start taking Sudafed before the show. And for a really long time, I did take Sudafed before the show. And then I stopped taking Sudafed before the show. But every once in a blue moon, you know, it's so bad that I take Sudafed. But if they took the Sudafed away from me, I think we would all live. Now, of course, if I needed a prescription for it, like the woman that called did, she would still be able to get it by prescription. Just take it off of the counter. And all the research shows when it's less available and only by prescription that the number of methamphetamine users just tanks because there's no substitute for those drugs in methamphetamine that gives a methamphetamine user the same release of dopamine to their brain, and naturally, they just stop using it. It's stunning. Pretty simple, huh? And you get to keep your prescriptions. There you go. Now, she doesn't have to give up her sinus relief by prescription, and I don't have to give up my Friday beer. Everybody's happy. Although I would. I mean, really, I know prohibition of anything doesn't work. But when you have people that are cooking drugs in homes, that tells you something about the potency of that drug and that it's much too available. If you make it a little more difficult for people to get it, it just seems like the epidemic sort of goes away, like with Quaaludes, you know? There's always going to be people that are going to find it. There's always going to be people. Alcohol, we tried banning it. Didn't work. People went to the criminal side. There's too much money in it, blah, blah. But, you know, look, when I see somebody that is an alcoholic drink alcohol, oh, I shudder. I really do. It makes me, I've seen people lose their jobs, I've seen them lose their wives, I've seen them lose their kids, I've seen them lose their home. But it's really weird that we don't lock people up for using alcohol when it's not appropriate for them to use alcohol. But we do lock people up for using cocaine, even though some people do use cocaine and they don't lose, you know, their ability not to do cocaine, although it's addictive, I know that. People smoke pot. It's not addictive, but that's illegal. I mean, our priorities are just whacked. And we know that there's this huge methamphetamine problem, but that if you take ephedrine and pseudoephedrine out of the concoction, that the number of methamphetamine users drops off dramatically. But hey, let's go after the pot smokers. It's just our drug policy is so bizarre. And heroin, well, that's the Afghans. You know, they love growing it. 18 after.
You're listening to Randy Rhoads, putting the broad in broadcasting.
I can't save my reputation.
This is Air America Radio.
You're listening to AM 13.
It's the best bike vacation ever.
3 days of cycling in the Sierra foothills, camping under the stars, catered gourmet meals, entertainment, and in-camp activities.
It's the 20th annual Emigrant Trails Bike Trek, Friday, September 8th through Sunday, September 10th. This excellent adventure attracts over 400 bicycle riders and helps support Breathe California Sacramento's efforts to improve air quality in our area and to work to eliminate lung disease. Make your plans now and start raising much-needed funds by registering today at sacbreathe.org or by calling 916-444-5900. You can ride as an individual or put together a team of co-workers or friends. Travel at your own pace through stunning scenery, then relax in a camp with massage, yoga, or a beverage from the cantina. Free training rides prepare you for the best bike vacation ever. The 20th Annual Immigrant Trails Bike Trek, September 8th through September 10th. 3 days of cycling, camping, and fun. Go to sacbreathe.org or call 916-444-5900 and sign up today.
I actually stopped at the Young Boys Lemonade Stand and just bought the lemonade. You know the worst part about this heat wave across the country is Al Gore walking around going, I told you so. Actually, if Al Gore's movie on global warming is correct, as you know, the ice caps are shrinking. You all know about that. The glaciers are shrinking. The only thing not shrinking, Al Gore, apparently. Have you seen Al? Really not shrinking. I tell you, and the heat, it puts people in a bad mood. You know, in fact, coming into work today, people were swearing like President Bush near an open mic. It was unbelievable.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cache Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cache Fever Jackpot hits, a Cache Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cache Fever Jackpot total and your Cache Club points online now at CacheCreek.com. So join Cache Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Jay's band is playing, if you're in New York this weekend, they will be at the Catty Shack, not the Caddy, Catty, as like that, the Catty Shack in Brooklyn, New York, where, President Street and Carroll?
President Street and 4th Avenue.
And 4th Avenue. And that is in Park Slope, I'm guessing.
Yes.
And Jay doesn't play the drums anymore because... He hated to bring them to the gig, awful. So now he's the guitar player because he only has to carry the case.
And I'm going down to flute playing next. They have the smallest
one. I know. And, you know, when I was in the band in high school, I wanted to play the flute because, you know, it was just so easy to carry. I got the trumpet. Yeah. And my grandmother was shocked and appalled because she goes, you can't play the trumpet. It'll give you a big chest. Well, she was right. Yeah. Anyway, so if you're in Brooklyn on Sunday night, go see Jay Cowett and the Enemies in Park Slope at the Catty Shack, 249 4th Avenue, between President and Carroll. That's right.
Be a good show.
Yeah, it'll be a great show. I'm really happy Jay's playing. Playing like almost every week now.
Playing a lot.
You're just what I needed, Jay. Now, this Saturday, tomorrow morning at like 6:30 in the morning, I'm leaving New York. I'm going back down to Florida, my home. This is, I don't know where I live anymore. It's really, it's amazing. But I'm going home because we're going to have a reunion for the WJNO listeners who, you know, without them, this never would have happened. I worked there for 9 years. And I'm still on that radio station. Air America is not. Just this show is still on that radio station. I still follow Rush Limbaugh on WJNO in West Palm Beach. And it's a good deal, really. It works. So I'm going down to thank the WJNO listeners. And Willie Nelson and Annie Nelson, you know, I'm friends with the family. I'm very lucky to count them as friends. Annie got her hair done today at Michelangelo's, who always does my hair when I'm there. And I sent her over to Michael, and he took her right away because, of course, she's Mrs. Willie Nelson. Me, I would have to wait, you know, 4 weeks for an appointment. But I called him up today from my hair appointment in New York, and I said, I'm sending Annie Nelson. I don't have any. She's Willie Nelson's wife. Okay, 2:30. So Michael, Michelangelo and his wife, Debbie, they're coming, too. This is how I had to work things out. Well, you can come to the show. But I'm going down there. It's sort of a homecoming, and I'm really looking forward to it. And that'll be Saturday night at the West Palm Beach Amphitheater. Willie Nelson and John Fogerty. It'll be a really good night of music. And I get to come on stage and say thank you because Willie is that nice and kind that he said, oh, why don't you just get on stage with me and say thank you? I don't know why it's all so complicated. And he's like, yeah, and then I can go to your house and do laundry. She's constantly going to my house to do laundry. She's using me for my washer and dryer. It's incredible. So it'll be great. I can't wait to see everybody. My ex-husband is coming because that's the kind of person I am. I'm really a liberal. And my current boyfriend is coming, so it'll be really kind of fascinating. Yeah. And Willie will emcee that. No. And then, you know, we'll meet everybody before the show. It's just, I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be just a great, great, great fun thing to do this weekend. So there's a couple of fun things if you're down in Florida or if you're up in New York. Woo-hoo! If you're out in the hinterland, if you're in Missouri, God, I'm so sorry. Let me know how the president handles this. Let me know. Do you see what happened to St. Louis? You didn't? Oh, my God. They got a really wild storm there yesterday. And it just, it was like a little tiny mini tropical, it wasn't even a tropical storm, it was like a little mini hurricane. And it just freaking tore the whole city apart. And people are like, you know, waiting for help from the president. And, you know, yeah, I'm working on it. He'll get to you. It's like there's 25,000 stranded Americans in Lebanon, which is 25,000 potential hostages in Lebanon. No one's paying any attention to the war in Iraq, where we have 130,000 American soldiers who are potentially 130,000 hostages. You've got people still wandering around this country wondering, how do I vote if I'm from New Orleans? I live in Houston now, or I live in New York now, or I live. You know, it's amazing. And now you've got St. Louis, Missouri, just. And his answer, please take a number. I'll get to you. Like the Department of Motor Vehicles.
The Randy Rhoads Show. Radio only smarter. This is Air America Radio.
It's the Randy Rhoads Show.
It's the best bike vacation ever.
3 days of cycling in the Sierra foothills, camping under the stars, catered gourmet meals, entertainment, and in-camp activities. It's the 20th annual Emigrant Trails Bike Trek, Friday, September 8th through Sunday, September 10th. This excellent adventure attracts over 400 bicycle riders and helps support Breathe California Sacramento's efforts to improve air quality in our area and to work to eliminate lung disease. Make your plans now and start raising much-needed funds by registering today at sacbreathe.org or by calling 916-444-5900. You can ride as an individual or put together a team of co-workers or friends. Travel at your own pace through stunning scenery, then relax in a camp with massage, yoga, or a beverage from the cantina. Free training rides prepare you for the best bike vacation ever. The 20th Annual Emigrant Trails Bike Trek, September 8th through September 10th. 3 days of cycling, camping, and fun. Go to sacbreathe.org or call 916-444-5900 and sign up today.
you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
It's the best bike vacation.
Good evening. I would like to report on the state of our war against the American people. We're mounting a sustained campaign to crack down on every American and every person of every faith and every nation, and to bring them to justice. All missions are being executed according to plan, without warning or provocation. Americans are being swept up in an international dragnet. Thousands of FBI agents are on the trail of other citizens here and abroad. It has everything to do with hate and evil and murder and prejudice. America's strong, strong, strong.
Federal agents, we are armed!
Casino Resort. Win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cash Creek Casino Resort.
If you send messages.
Of course, we're after Saddam Hussein. I mean, Bin Laden. He's. Let me say, I certainly hope so. Before I.
If you send messages.
That's a loaded question. First of all, I admire Senator Kerry's service to our country.
If you send messages.
I admire the fact that he is a great dad. We're facing
If you send messages.
Let me finish. And so the answer to your question is, no doubt about it, it's tough. It's hard work.
Hard
about it all is fine with me. Ira in Burlington.
Yes, hello, Randy.
Hey.
Remember, they called Quaaludes Flight 747s because that was the number stamped on them.
No, 714s, dear.
Oh, 714. Well, maybe I got a higher dose that way than 747. Anyway, I was going to say that, you know, man is genetically programmed to consume drugs. Because, and the reason I say this, as far as it sounds, is because you got to consider when we were first coming out of that primordial ooze and going around, we were testing everything to see what we could eat. Sometimes you died, sometimes you got a stomach ache, but anything that made us feel good, whether it was to fill our stomachs or to make ourselves have a happy feeling in our heads or a pain went away, that's what we gravitated to. So that's going to be something that's going to be with us forever. So it's very difficult to attack any type of system that has those kind of primordial urges to get to it, you know. So I understand there has to be ways of possibly controlling overconsumption, but once again, that is so, so difficult because it's actually in our genetic makeup from being primitive. I mean, you can imagine the stuff we ate, you know.
You're whacked, man.
No, that's absolutely true. We're made up of drugs and chemicals.
I understand. But we don't.
And the Bible was.
But we really don't have to self-medicate in order to have happy lives.
We don't have to, but it feels good.
No, I think we've evolved since we crawled out of the primordial ooze.
It's still, well, then why do we keep consuming other certain things? We all take caffeine, nicotine. You can't tell me there isn't anything.
Oh,
out
please,
there
you're telling me that they're not trying to make nicotine into a criminal thing? I mean, I'm a smoker, and I understand it's bad for me, and I am addicted, and I really wish that they would have banned it before I got addicted.
But you got addicted.
I did, but I'm not accepting that it's part of the primordial ooze thing.
Well, you.
Somebody manufactured a drug that they knew was going to addict me. And not only did they know that nicotine was the most addictive substance known to man, but they came up with something called the cigarette, which was harmless until they added the nicotine and looked at the cigarette and said, ooh, that's a good nicotine delivery system.
So you're telling
and
me
it's
that-
the same thing with methamphetamine. They look at like something like ephedrine or pseudoephedrine, which is very, very successful at helping the woman with the sinus problem. And they say, oh, by the way, if you concoct some sort of an ooze, concoction out of that, you can get people addicted to it for pennies a dose.
But people were getting addicted to things before they were being
manufactured. Like what?
Like mescaline? Using the peyote buttons?
I don't think that's addictive. It's not addictive, though. It's funny how man sort of weeded out what was addictive and only kept in his regimen what wasn't and what was healthful and what made him stronger. How do you think we evolved if we were so busy self-medicating?
Well, very few things are truly...
No, your theory is absolutely bullcrap. What kills me, though, is that the things that are not addicting, like peyote and mescaline, which are LSD, mind-altering, yes. Addictive? No. Marijuana? Mind-altering? Maybe. Addictive? Absolutely not. Totally illegal. Peyote? Totally illegal. You know, it's crazy. And then, of course, you have ephedrine and pseudoephedrine. You can buy it over the counter, and that goes into the concoction that causes one of the most more perverse addictions I've ever seen, really. This is like a really seriously perverse addiction. It's unbelievable what people will leave behind and what their kids. I mean, you've got drug-endangered children who were normally well taken care of until their mother or their father found this concoction. Natural selection obviously shows you that people pick what is not addicting, but what makes them feel better or good, but isn't, going to cause them not to be able to continue to hunt and gather. Or in our case, work. All right. Robert in Atlanta.
Hi, Randy.
Hi.
First time caller.
Oh, hi.
It is so cool to talk to you. I've been listening to you since you were on early evening after Neil Rogers. Is that his No that you play sometimes?
You know who that is?
No.
That sounds like Neil.
No, it's not Neil. It's that, I forgot the guy's name. It was that gay guy that used to work, on the weekends. Remember him? Oh, God, what is that man's name? He was such a pot stirrer. You know what I mean? He was just
a
drama queen, and Neil hated him.
Oh, no, you know what? He sounds, I've been, Since you're on Air America, I've been saying, oh, that's Neil. Well, that's you killed it. That's all right.
I can't remember that guy's name. I remember what he looks like. He was a blonde, kind of a chubby guy.
I'll find it and call back and let you know.
Call Neil and ask him, because Neil's, they're mine. Those drops are my drops. But, Neil used to like the price of admission to WIOD was you had to share your stuff with Neil.
Or any kind of food, just bring it on.
Yeah, I'll feed him. You had to feed him or you had to let him use your stuff.
And as he ate it, he would be plugging, and it was just beautiful. It was great.
Oh.
And listen, almost 2 months ago...
For those of you who have no idea what we're talking about, there's this phenomenal guy on the radio in Miami. His name's Neil Rogers, and he works middays. And he is my mentor. He's the guy that taught me everything I know. Everything I know. And why he's not on Air America, I have no idea.
He would be so perfect.
Oh, he's amazing. He's an old Jewish gay guy.
Yeah,
and he's fabulous on the radio. He's just amazing.
Down in a Pee Wee Herman scandal. Which was,
oh, right.
Yeah, it was just too funny. And almost 2 months ago when I turned the radio on and listened to jazz classical because they some spineless person yanked 1690 here. And we lost you guys.
They yanked it and the station, too. See, that's Neil. That is something Neil would do.
No, this is in Atlanta where I'm living now.
No, I'm saying that's how Neil was like full of double entendre. That was like his thing. So you say they yanked it. He'll say, yeah, that and they yanked it and the station, too. Right.
Neil, you're right. He was absolutely brilliant. There's archives of all his shows.
Oh, he's
on
fabulous.
His website now.
I love him and I miss him.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah.
And, so when they pulled Air America in Atlanta, I fired off a couple of emails, got no response from anybody, and gave in. 12 hours later, I was in Best Buy's getting an XM radio.
Oh, wow.
Couldn't miss a day of you. When I found out that you guys were on XM, I went out the next day. But it's so sad that a city like Atlanta couldn't pull the ratings.
Well, that station was a low-power AM station, and it had no staff. That's what people don't understand about that station. That station was literally purchased by three engineers that used to run the place, and they pooled their money and they bought the station. They had no idea what to do with it. And they just threw this thing on. There was no staff. And when I went to Atlanta, I did the civil rights, the voting rights march. I went down there about a year ago. I get in a cab. I asked the cab driver to turn it on because I want to hear, all the local affiliates. And I swear to you, there were three things on the air all at the same time, and that went on for an hour.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
You're right. It's
so I was very glad that they sold it, and I didn't really care to be on
Randy,
that.
Oh, Randy, it was painful for, you don't know, I'm sure you know.
Somebody just called from South Florida. His name was Drew Michaels. That's his name.
Okay.
Drew Michaels.
That's him.
Absolutely. No.
That's Drew.
Okay. No.
That's Drew Michaels.
Oh, but it sounds
Dr.
So
Rob, DJ up. Rob from South Florida just called us. Thank you, DJ Rob.
Awesome. That's great. Okay, so now that you know I've been worshiping you all along, I've had a couple problems with the pseudoephedrine thing. And I've had some buddies that are now 90 pounds that used to be 140. The first problem I got is that I'm absolutely convinced that in the Asian markets and Indian market, et cetera, this product will still be made for their people, and it's going to get back. And what it might do is actually move it more to an unregulated where people can get trunks of the stuff over in shipping containers. And I'm just worried that...
Okay, so here's what you do. Okay, this is why the law is so beautiful. This is why I absolutely love democracy, because we're a nation of laws. So you have a law that says that any exporter or importer is held accountable if their product is diverted for illicit use. And just like Bill Clinton wanted to trace terrorists who were using fertilizer explosive devices, improvised explosive devices, and wanted to put taggants into the fertilizer, which, doesn't take away from the usefulness of the fertilizer, but it can track it if it shows up in a bomb. And you can hold accountable the person that sold it without the proper ID, without the proper tax ID number, that you were really a farmer or you really were going to use this for agriculture. You do the same thing
You know, I'm not a scientist, but I just am afraid of a black market production.
There's always going to be a black market. What you want to do, is you want to get rid of most of the people that use it because you want to take the ease of making it or getting it away.
Absolutely.
There's always going to be criminal activity. I mean, everybody wants to solve every problem 100%. And that's not even my goal. I don't even go there. What I say is I want to make it the best it can be for the most it can be.
Absolutely.
That's it. And then you can deal with the weakest among us, and then you can concentrate on their particular need to get the help, you know, to not seek it out. But, you know, the root cause, as the woman said, you know.
What do you do about the low-income people that suffer so badly from this, that cannot afford? I know a woman that I worked with that if it wasn't for her contact bills, she couldn't make it to work. She can't afford a doctor. She can't afford prescriptions. And I'm afraid that it's just, there's a lot of low-income people that would be absolutely in pain.
Well, then that's why you need to have health care available to every single American as a right. Because, look, the only reason for government in a democracy is to see to the general welfare of the people. Now, if you have a few things happening in tandem, if you have a few things happening all at the same time, everybody gets their health care coverage. Everybody can see their doctor. Everybody can figure out what the right cure for. Maybe some people medicate themselves for the exact wrong problem and exacerbate. Who knows? Everybody needs health care. It is a right. They say life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. If you don't have your health, you can do none of those things. You have no liberty because you're a slave to your illness. You have no mobility. You don't have the pursuit of happiness as an option because all you're doing is trying to keep yourself out of pain or well. And you don't have a life. So, you know, to me, if you had health care for all Americans, and look, we just spent $1 trillion in Iraq, certainly we could have done health care. And then you actually make sure that there's laws that say ephedrine and pseudoephedrine cannot be sold over the counter, only by prescription for people who really demonstrate a need for it. And you hold the chemical. And you hold the importers and exporters accountable if their product is diverted for illicit use. If all those three things would happen at the same time. Plus,
absolutely.
I mean, then you'd be able to address the root cause of the people who still fell through the cracks. And then you wouldn't have an epidemic or a pandemic. Instead, you'd have a few people with a problem.
Point taken.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I love democracy, because it really can work like that. But we don't have that now. We have fascism, which means the corporations get to lobby the Congress to keep those cold medicines on the counter where people can get them, smash them up, and make methamphetamine. I'm telling you, every problem, if you give it just a little common sense, time and, like, solvable in a democracy. That's the beauty of it. 47 after.
The Randy Rhoads Show. More fun than pointing out the size of Ann Coulter's Adam's apple to your friends.
It's a man, baby.
Okay.
This is Air America Radio.
A liberal dose of the truth.
It's the best bike vacation ever. 3 days of cycling in the Sierra foothills, camping under the stars, catered gourmet meals, entertainment, and in-camp activities. It's the 20th annual Emigrant Trails Bike Trek, Friday, September 8th through Sunday, September 10th. This excellent adventure attracts over 400 bicycle riders and helps support Breathe California Sacramento's efforts to improve air quality in our area and to work to eliminate lung disease. Make your plans now and start raising much-needed funds by registering today at sacbreathe.org or by calling 916-444-5900. You can ride as an individual or put together a team of co-workers or friends. Travel at your own pace through stunning scenery, then relax in a camp with massage, yoga, or a beverage from the cantina. Free training rides prepare you for the best bike vacation ever. The 20th Annual Emigrant Trails Bike Trek, September 8th through September 10th. 3 days of cycling, camping, and fun. Go to sacbreathe.org or call 916-444-5900 and sign up today.
And remember,
If it's your boat, it's your responsibility.
The internet. It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes.
At the truth, AM 1320.
So hot today in New York City, that naked guy on the subway was screaming, "Who's crazy now?" Hot down in Washington, D.C., Dick Cheney replaced his pacemaker with an ice maker. It's so hot, Christie Brinkley is now dating Ben and Jerry.
Whoa!
It's so hot today, ladies and gentlemen, George W. Bush told Al Roker to stop doing that. That's what he said. That's what President Bush said at the G8 summit. He was overheard using a dirty language at the G8 summit. And not only that, later he was ejected for headbutting.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
God, and I tried to be so nice to that guy. I used to let him fill in for me all the time because my attitude was like, anybody can do this. If you just got to really want it bad enough, you know, to like make it your whole life. You got to be obsessed with it. It's like anything that you want to do. You want to play golf, you got to be obsessed with it. I'm sorry. I know. It's like giving your husband an excuse. I get it. I understand. But it is like that. You know, if you want to get proficient at something, that's one thing. But if you want to really kill, you know, you got to do it, like, obsessively. It's like music or anything that you really have a passion for. So this guy, you know, he's like, I really, so fill in for, and Neil Rogers, who is my mentor, I mean, he's the guy. I can't tell you how many people had that slot on WIOD that I had. I mean, there must have been, like, a person a week. But Neil would get on the air and just trash them to the point where they would shake in their, and they wouldn't come back to work, or the audience would turn on them. It was incredible. And everybody used to, like, bitch about Neil Rogers, and he's, you know, don't listen to what Neil says, and don't listen, and Neil's this, and Neil's that, and they would, like, trash Neil. Oh, stupid. So it came my turn. I got my shot. I said, I'm not going to trash Neil. I'm going to talk to Neil, not about Neil. So I talked to him. I got on the air, and the first thing I said was, listen, Neil, I am so sick of the, hello, doctor, I have a boil on my ass, and I don't know what to do about it. Or Meg Green on Money. You know, I said, you know, what you want is me. I'm young. I'm funny. I got things to say, you know. And sure as crap, because I talked to him and not at him or about him, he called the show. And he said, you know, I think you're exactly what we need. You are a f***ing goddess. That's where the name came from. So we took that, turned it around real quick, and bleeped it. Because he actually he called on the hotline. And I'm sitting here, and, you know, everybody's got a hotline for your kids to call. You know, your family's got to be able to reach you. They're not calling 866-303-2270 if they need to call me, right? Just knows how to call me. So there's a hotline, and everybody has it, you know, who works inside the station. And so, of course, Neil had it. And he'd get called, and it light, when it lights up, like the, it used to be, big light goes off. Woo, 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 hotline. And you look on the screen, and it's like Neil is on the phone. I'm like, oh, crap. This is it, my last 5 seconds of radio. It was my first 5 seconds of radio. It was my last 5 seconds of radio. And it was Neil. And he got in the car. He goes, you know, honey, you know, honey, I had to tell you something. You are young. You are funny. You got something to say. I think you're a f***ing goddess. I'm like, oh, God, I might be able to work in this business. So we turned it around, and we just kept playing it on the air. And, of course, the audience was like, well, if Neil likes her, we like her. And then the ratings came out, and we killed. We went, I mean, that night show never got ratings. It had, like, you know, no ratings whatsoever. None, because Neil would trash whoever was on that night show. So they never stood a chance. So the ratings came out, and with his blessing, we debuted with an 8 share in Men 2554, which, by the way, is what you want. That's what you want. And it was amazing. It was amazing. We just killed. And then I got, like, a little too good at the ratings, you know what I mean? And it was like, you know, he had to be number one kind of, and it was time for me to leave. So that's how I ended up on WJNO. But that's just a little background of, you know, how I got started in talk. I was a DJ for years before that. But I said, it's so weird how young I was. I said, do I really want to be 40 playing classic rock? And that's exactly what we're doing for the bumper music. It's just so funny. But, yeah, God bless you, Neil. If it wasn't for you, I would never have made it because, you know, he told the audience, you know, give her a chance. She's really something.
I had this red rash between my legs, and wasn't until I spent some time in the woods with Floyd did it clear up.
Bull Bob Newballs from Kickacock, Iowa, is just one of the tens of people who have tried Gold's Male Bond Powder. It's really something.
Okay.
That's from the early... That is probably one of the first bits I ever played in my whole life. So there's a little trivia for you right there. Okay, it looks like Chris in L.A., you will be the last call of the week if I have this right.
Thanks, Randy.
Okay.
Calling with two things, a big thank you and a heartfelt request. I'm calling regarding stem cell research. In 1999, my 7-year-old daughter was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes.
Oh, yeah.
And since that moment, she has bravely advocated for the cause of embryonic stem cell research. And my request is that I was on hold here in L.A. on Wednesday after the president's address, and you're on delay, so I actually heard the first 2 hours and I had to go, so I didn't call in. But the show was excellent. You caught all the nuance. The callers were great. And I had nothing to add, but my request is that don't stop, because you just got to continue this, because
you know what? We shall, because World War III, or whatever they're going to call it, is about to explode. And very few people are going to talk about our domestic situation, but I can do both. Thank you. I'll see you in West Palm.
It's the best bike vacation ever. 3 days of cycling in the Sierra foothills, camping under the stars, catered gourmet meals, entertainment, and in-camp activities. It's the 20th annual Emigrant Trails Bike Trek, Friday, September 8th through Sunday, September 10th. This excellent adventure attracts over 400 bicycle riders and helps support Breathe California Sacramento's efforts to improve air quality in our area and to work to eliminate lung disease. Make your plans now and start raising much-needed funds by registering today at sacbreathe.org or by calling 916-444-5900. You can ride as an individual or put together a team of co-workers or friends. Travel at your own pace through stunning scenery, then relax in a camp with massage, yoga, or a beverage from the cantina. Free training rides prepare you for the best bike vacation ever. The 20th Annual Immigrant Trails Bike Trek, September 8th through September 10th. 3 days of cycling, camping, and fun. Go to sacbreathe.org or call 916-444-5900 and sign up today.
A U.S. mission to the Mideast.
I will travel to Israel and the Palestinian territories.
In the Midwest, the weather goes from bad to worse.
We currently have about 570,000 customers in Missouri and Illinois without service.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. She's not looking for a quick fix, but Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice announced today that she'll leave for the Middle East on Sunday. CBS News reporter Charles Wilson has the itinerary.
After meeting with Israeli leaders, Rice intends to go to Rome, where she'll meet with officials from a small group of Arab and European countries dedicated to finding a lasting peace between Israel and Lebanon. That will, she said, involve creating an international military force to keep the peace.
It's got to be robust, and it's got to be capable of helping the Lebanese forces make certain that southern Lebanon is not a haven for these kinds of attacks.
A quick ceasefire, Rice said, would only be a false promise, which would lead to further attacks by Hezbollah. Charles Wolfson, CBS News, the State Department.
Rice has no plans to meet with the leaders of Hezbollah or Syria. In northern Israel, tanks and troops have been on the move, preparing for more cross-border ground action against Hezbollah.
Israelis and their government are fed up with rocket attacks from southern Lebanon. The city of Haifa, which until last week felt safe, was struck by 11 missiles today, wounding 20 civilians. To destroy or push away Hezbollah rocket launchers, a few hundred Israeli troops have been scouring Lebanese villages, and thousands more with tanks are visibly waiting to cross the border.
That doesn't mean we conquer Lebanon.
Cabinet Minister Yitzhak Herzog signaling this won't be a full invasion as in 1982. Most Israelis feel that one turned out to be disastrous. Dan Raviv, CBS News, Tel Aviv.
One top Israeli commander says the fighting could go on for a number of weeks. Now this.
Big meeting in the morning and you're ready. All you need is a good night's sleep, but you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning and the pain.
Ooh.
Is driving you insane.
I gotta get some sleep. I should use Preparation H.
Why keep tossing and turning because of the itching and burning? Use Preparation H cream with maximum strength pain relief. Relieves burning and itching and adds maximum strength pain relief on contact. Nighttime's the right time, too. For Preparation H cream, pain relief on contact. Use as directed.
Net Zero, America's number one value-priced internet service, is only $9.95 a month, and there's no commitment and no credit card required. Signing up for Net Zero is so simple, you'll be online in minutes. Plus, Net Zero gives you powerful virus protection, and your service is backed by a connection guarantee. Join the millions of people who have switched to the internet service that ranks higher than AOL in customer satisfaction. Call 1-800-NET-ZERO or go to netzero.com.
The weather in the heartland is like a pendulum swinging from extreme heat to violent storms. The St. Louis area has been pounded hard as crews struggled to restore power. Knocked out by Wednesday storms, more strong wind and rain came through today. Tim Fox of Ameren Power says there is an upside.
The storm that blew through today, while it put another 200,000 people out of service, did bring in cooler temperatures. And that's very important for both our employees and our customers.
They've been living without air conditioning in triple-digit temperatures. St. Charles, Missouri is hard hit. And across the state line in Trenton, Illinois, John Mills of CBS television affiliate KMOV found more damage.
Trenton, Illinois was just pounded by this storm. Some are estimating wind gusts in excess of 80 miles an hour here. A lot of trees are down.
And power to many homes and businesses is out. Actor Jack Warden, known to generations of moviegoers and TV viewers, has died at 85. Warden had two Oscar nominations over a long career that included 12 Angry Men, Shampoo, and Heaven Can Wait. Here he is opposite Paul Newman in the 1982 film The Verdict.
Frankie, listen to me because I'm done with you. I got you a good case. It's a moneymaker.
He made such a lasting impact in every medium. Just a wonderful actor and a guy who presented himself as a kind of everyman. I think that's why everybody could relate to him.
Leonard Maltin of Entertainment Tonight. Jack Warden won an Emmy for his starring role in the TV series Crazy Like a Fox. Three Boston police officers are accused of taking $35,000 to protect a cocaine shipment. It was a federal sting. Prosecutors say the cops were busted in Miami, where they went to celebrate their big score and discuss further deals with the undercover agents they thought were drug traffickers. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Okay, Rick.
These are troubled times. We have to think our way out. We can't faith our way out. It's not a coincidence that so much of Bush's base are faith people, because Bush works in mysterious ways. It helps to have faith. It really does. But religion It stops people from thinking because they think all the answers are in that one book. It impedes progress. It justifies crazy people. Flying planes into a building was a faith-based initiative. Matters of otherwise common sense become points of debate. Like gay marriage, would we even be having this discussion about whether gay people can marry except for religion? Of course the Catholic Church doesn't want gay men to marry. Half the priesthood would walk out the door the first day and marry the UPS driver.
Majority Report with Janine Garofalo and Sam Cedar. Where every day's casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday. Tuesday, casual Tuesday. Wednesday, casual hump day. Thursday, casual Thurs. That's what we call it. And Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report.
Janine Garofalo, and I'm here with Samuel Sater on Casual Shabbat, and that's why we have four bottles of Chateau Neuf du Pape lined up in a row to celebrate casuals that are Friday.
Everywhere. Not just that, it's your last night on the Majority Report.
Yeah, and my last night in this official capacity. I will be back intermittently to fill in for one Samuel Sater if he's nice to me.
And it's also Josh's last night, and he will never be back.
Oh, I thought Josh had next week.
Next week is vacation week.
I didn't know that.
Oh, well, you missed the last...
I missed all the meetings.
The meetings.
That's right.
You missed the last meeting for the last year and a half.
That's right. So, I mean, why start now?
Right.
I wanted to thank Keith Tucker. Thank you, Keith Tucker, for a wonderful drawing he sent us from whatnowtunes.com and his Goodbye Janine drawing, which is great. I'm going to put that on the fridge. Now, a Real Simple magazine, what would that tell us to do, Sam? Anybody read Real Simple? Fantastic tips. Now, had he drawn this on butcher paper, he could have cut it to size. I could have framed that, and it's, you know, casual chic.
Yeah, exactly. But it's more, that's more of a kid's thing, isn't it?
Is it?
You tell me. Tonight on the show, Janine, your final show, at least is until you move
in
into
theory.
The emeritus position, is Radley Whitford, a star of The West Wing. And a new show called Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, starting this fall on NBC. Is that one about...
Isn't that the Aaron Sorkin one? I keep calling it Studio 360. It's like behind the scenes at Saturday Night Live.
Oh,
with...
I read that. I scripted.
I heard it was fantastic. I'm not lying at all. I heard that was the best script that people were reading, like, for the pilot season in the drama category.
Ooh.
You're the only person who said that, Sam, so I think you're thinking of something else. It's Aaron Sorkin. There's no way that that's not good.
I auditioned for Aaron Sorkin for it, actually.
There's no way his writing was not anything other than at least noteworthy.
It was noteworthy, not necessarily for the reason you're talking about.
Well, let's go on record as Sam Cedar criticizing Aaron Sorkin's writer. That should be helpful to you in the future, Mr. Cedar.
Well, let's hope my radio career lasts. Lamour Savon, Israeli peace activist and movie producer, will be joining us. And Matt Taibbi, contributing editor and political correspondent for Rolling Stone magazine. And we're going to have some surprise phone calls.
I know. I can't wait. Now, I went to Starbucks, Sam. Please don't tell Reverend Billy of the church to stop shopping because he extracted a promise from me that I wouldn't go to Starbucks for 6 months, which I think has expired. But I was going to get my cafe vanilla frappuccino sans whipped cream. And in front was a group of young people passing out flyers. And this is on 14th Street and 6th Avenue saying, Starbucks has fired two workers for trying to form a union. Evan Winterscheidt, and Charles Fostrom fired for trying to unionize. And if you want to know more about that, you can go to www.starbucksunion.org. Now, I was talking to sweet little Jessica, our booker, about the thing about Starbucks that's curious is, though, that they do provide, as far as I understand it, good health care and dental and stock options and things for their employees so that maybe they don't need the union in that case. I don't know. I do know they also hire ex-cons, which a lot of companies do not do. So I don't know. You know, I'm partial to my cafe vanilla frappuccino, as I am also partial to my hazelnut non-fat latte.
Unions, though, very important.
They are.
Because as wages increase because of union contracts, everyone's wages increase, and it gives you a lot more security. I can assure you that I am extremely happy that I am a member of AFTRA.
Yes, I'm in a union myself, and we need to respect unions. Unfortunately, that gets lost on a lot of people as we grow up corporate in this society. But
c'est vrai.
That's what he said.
Yes, that's exactly what I said.
C'est that's vrai. Right, that's why I said that.
We got to get into a fight tonight. People are just chomping
at
the
bit. Oh, don't worry.
Chomping at the bit. Speaking of whining, Janine, have you heard about these whiners who were expecting the U.S. government to protect them as citizens of America from the bombing that was happening in Lebanon?
Rush Limbaugh, what are they doing there?
I'll tell you, this is a fascinating example of why it is so easy for the right wing to propagate their right wing hate message, because they are so parochial that the notion that someone would actually travel to a foreign country and by all means live there for a period of time,
it
go to school
bizarre.
There. It's bizarre.
It seems
folks.
Almost treasonous, doesn't
it's
it?
It's almost as if these people have no God. And so carrying on with that agenda, your buddies at Fox and Friends.
Oh, Steve Doocy and some lady and I can't believe I forgot his name. The one I hate more than
anything. Brian Kilmeade.
Brian Kilmeade. Now, one of the worst people I've ever met in my life.
Just to show you. Now, we spoke the other night about how people who watch Fox News, 75% of them actually support George Bush. And there's a reason for this. And they play on this notion of, you know, just you want to travel to another country. Well, then anything that happens to you, you deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this notion, it's amazing. The parochialism, they bathe in it. Mm-hmm. They wash themselves
in
it.
They're proud of their ignorance. They're proud of their aggressive coarseness. Brian Kilmeade is like the jock dude in high school that would have, in a very strange way, wanted to not just beat up on the bully, but to do anal things not just beat up on the weakling as a bully, but do anal weird things in the showers to him.
And
that mentality.
Here's the kicker, though. You get him one-on-one, bam, Cedar smacks him down. Guy's a wimp.
Oh, I hope. I have so much. Who is it I tried to beg to smack down? Brian Kilmeade. We had somebody on who's like kind of a big dude, like a big kind of aggressive.
Oh, Rykoff.
Rykoff! Yes, Hannity and Brian Kilmeade. I said, Rykoff, next time, will you promise me you will get into some fisticuffs with these guys? But you know what? They'd be litigious little babies.
Yes, sniveling babies. All right, well, here's the Fox and Friends people going off on the whining people. What are they doing in Lebanon anyways? These Americans. Maybe they're not really even Americans.
Right.
I mean, why did you get a passport? Huh? That seems pretty suspicious. But the funny thing is, they're trying to push this agenda, and then they actually talk to the reporter who is in Lebanon, or who, I guess, was this reporter in Lebanon?
I think Cyprus, actually.
In Cyprus, where these passengers came from. And then he totally debunks them. It's actually pretty funny. Here we go. This is number one.
In the meantime, a lot of the evacuees are winding up in Cyprus, and shockingly, after they've been plucked out of Beirut, a lot of them are whining and complaining that, you know what, I had to sleep on the concrete, and they didn't have any food for me to eat on the evacuation ship.
Yeah, they weren't great conditions, but at least they're okay. Dana Lewis is in Cyprus. Dana.
Yeah, they were doing a little bit of whining, you know, but I tell you, that's a long trip, right? I mean, it's about 8 hours on board that ship last night. We met them, about 126 Americans who came in on a Norwegian car carrier. I mean, this is a ship that's never meant to take people, really. And they said it was pretty rugged, that 8 to 10 hours at sea, and they described the situation on the ground there as really chaotic in terms of their ability to connect contact with the American embassy to try to find out, is there a bus? Do they go to the port on their own? What ship do they get on? People have been sort of sitting in the University of Beirut, or they went up into the mountains, some of them, to get away from the bombing, and they've been very isolated. They just didn't know where to go, and people were panicked, and obviously, yeah, you're going to hear some people make some complaints.
Yeah. So
you know what, though? He didn't smack him down, Sam. He said, yeah, they did a little bit of wine. That coward did not nearly do enough to put the retarded... I was going to say animal, but that's so lame. I don't know. They were laughing. Like when you heard Steve Doocy and Brian Kilmeade saying they were whining and complaining, and you heard that woman who doesn't even deserve to be named. I don't know what her name is. It doesn't matter. She's a zero. But she was laughing like a morning drive.
You know that if these guys were in that same situation, they would have to be,
well, they wouldn't be, would they?
Constantly changing their pants because
what they do. They are cowards inherently. That's why they behave the way they
do. Now, this same guy comes back onto Neil Cavuto, and he starts to get a little bit more, he gets a little more challenging. Because, you know, this guy's afraid, like, I can't upset the correspondents or the anchors, or they're going to...
They're not anchors, Sam, and they're not correspondents. That's the thing, is how is it that he could be sitting there and say... No, they're hired buffoons.
Okay, well, I'm not going to hire these hired buffoons.
But why can't he upset those hired buffoons?
He's afraid of his job. But here's number four, where he gets a little strong with Neil Cavuto.
You know, Dana, I know it's probably anecdotal on your part, but the media is playing up a lot of the whining, carping, complaining Americans in this country who said that they've been unsettled. There's no warning, no communication. I know you talked to that one fellow who said just the opposite. How did it break down from just your conversations?
You know, look, I'd be whining too if I was on some of those ships. I got to tell you, because they haven't slept. They've gone through a very difficult time in Lebanon. Suddenly they're on these ships. They're not the Queen Marys. It is not comfortable. Some of them are car carriers and they have to sleep on the floor. So physically they get off and they are exhausted. But in the end they tell you they're very happy. They're very relieved to get there.
No, Sam.
All right, Dana. Thank you. Apologize for that satellite dish out there.
You know what? It's not enough, Sam. I don't know. He's a coward as well. He used the word whining again, which legitimizes what the talking points of Fox are. And he softened up. He actually checked himself as he started getting tough with Cavuto.
A little bit. You're right.
So that is just as bad.
When we come back, we'll listen to the drug-addled, the remnants of a drug-addled brain.
Rush Limbaugh?
Oh, good guess.
Thank you.
When he refers to the people coming out of Lebanon, remember, his agenda is to confirm for his moronic audience that, yes, anybody who dares to expand their horizons beyond the smallest and most narrow perspective is somehow suspicious. Are you people trying to enlighten yourselves or expand your horizons? Turn off your radio.
You better check yourself before you wreck yourself.
We'll be right back on the Majority Report.
The Majority Report on Air America Radio. Reading your comments at MajorityReportRadio.com. You're listening to AM 1320.
It's the best bike vacation ever. 3 days of cycling in the Sierra foothills, camping under the stars, catered gourmet meals, entertainment, and in-camp activities. It's the 20th annual Emigrant Trails Bike Trek, Friday, September 8th through Sunday, September 10th. This excellent adventure attracts over 400 bicycle riders and helps support Breathe California Sacramento's efforts to improve air quality in our area and to work to eliminate lung disease. Make your plans now and start raising much-needed funds by registering today at sacbreathe.org or by calling 916-444-5900. You can ride as an individual or put together a team of co-workers or friends. Travel at your own pace through stunning scenery, then relax in a camp with massage, yoga, or a beverage from the cantina. Free training rides prepare you for the best bike vacation ever. The 20th Annual Emigrant Trails Bike Trek, September 8th through September 10th. 3 days of cycling, camping, and fun. Go to sacbreathe.org or call 916-444-5900 and sign up today.
Hey, you streaming listeners, open your media player and click on the link to nohagglemortgage.com right now, and you can save thousands on your mortgage loan. Simple, easy, and takes less than 30 seconds. For the first time, homeowners can now have direct access to the same rates that mortgage brokers get. That's right, the same rates that mortgage brokers get. Three things allow nohagglemortgage.com to get the lowest mortgage rates in the industry. One, no commissions to pay loan officers. Two, most of the work is done over the internet, saving you a lot of money. Three, no haggling. Click on the link now, then click on Quick Quote to find out what rate you can get. Get your money faster and save thousands. No gimmicks, no middleman, no haggling. Just simple, fast, friendly, low-rate mortgage loans. Skip the loan officer. Go direct to nohagglemortgage.com. You're already online. Take 30 seconds and find out for yourself. Or go to nohagglemortgage.com. Check it out today. Licensed by the DOC.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sam.
To understand it,
Miss Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy. See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
If Mitt Romney gets the nomination, the tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth. Tunnels.
Do the math, Scott! It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Majority Report, Air America Radio.
Even in the eyes of our ingrate, spoiled, rotten, little children, brat-type ingrate citizens in Beirut, it's our fault.
What?
Yeah, it's a war. How do I get a hold of it? We're having to shield myself from the sun with cardboard. That's embarrassing.
Yeah, I'll say.
Embarrassing. And then they can't even come up with $200 to get out. How'd they get over there? But no, they sure as hell didn't swim.
There you have it.
Oh, he's, you know, I can't go to Vietnam. I have a carbuncle on my ass. Please don't make me go to Vietnam. I have a boil on my butt. Please don't take my Oxycontin. Please.
Why are they looking at my Viagra? I want my privacy.
Please don't make me shop at the Husky Department at Sears.
How am I supposed to prove to the prostitutes in the Dominican that I can actually do it for a long time without my Viagra?
Please don't make me stay married to the First Lady. You fat piece of crap. Not you, Sam. I'm talking to Rush Limbaugh. God, unbelievable. Unbelievable that, you know, and I had asked you during the commercial break, Sam, I said, you know, as provincial as these people are, or they pretend to be, and he has a home in France, by the way.
What? No, not old Europe.
Yeah. And they're as provincial as they pretend to be, the people on these shows, but they are speaking to largely,
they're speaking to people who
provincial people who think it's treasonous to
Exactly.
You know, go somewhere else. Only in this context, though, probably. Or they want to boycott Aruba. When Natalie Holloway's mom said, you got to boycott Aruba.
Right.
And take a vacation in this country. Go to Branson. Go to Disney World. Like that kind of thing. But the thing is it's they run the risk, and I think Rush Limbaugh is dangerously close to appearing to be so insensitive that even their provincial kind of Klan-type audience would have to say, you know what? That's weird the way he's...
Well, I think so,
that.
But, you know, you really have to know somebody who actually lives across, you know, in another country or someone who lives there. I think for the most part, I think you're right. You know, for the most part, though, it edifies the resent and the suspicion and the fears that people have about, you know, what happens if I actually do experience another culture? Or what happens if I actually open up just enough to accept things that are not... you know, in the norm for me to see on a daily basis. And that's exactly how the right wing has done what they have done. And it's fascinating and it's also terrifying. I should also say, Janine, there are a lot of photos on the blog. I mean, I'm segueing here rather ungracefully. But the blog is a light with photos from our past. We're going to be putting photos up onto the blog as well. Thank yous to you and to Josh. Dar put up a photo montage of you that we put up on the front page, and a greeting or a thank you card to Josh. And so people are very grateful for all you have done in the past 2 years and 2.5 years, and frankly, even maybe even as much so for what you did prior to that.
Well, I deserve no thanks, but thank you for saying that I do. That gives me far too much credit. But we wouldn't be here without the listeners. The people who have put that up and who are thanking Josh and I, they actually are responsible for this happening. Because if they didn't exist and if they didn't support us,
there would be no
Air America. So thank yourselves while you're at it.
I am willing to take all of the thanks.
Chateau Neuf du Pop!
So when we come back, we're going to talk to Bradley Whitford.
I love Bradley.
Lamour Savon will be on. Matt Taibbi will be on. Other special guests calling in.
And
we promise to try and have an argument.
I really think we can do it.
I'm sure there'll be an opportunity to have an argument. I feel like we almost had one just earlier, but it didn't.
Well,
over that guy,
I almost got the Fox guy. Oh, no, but we were both on the same page of distaste, but you just weren't angry. You were giving that guy a pass, one quarter. We'll be right back.
The Majority Report on Air America Radio. A liberal dose of the truth.
It's the best bike vacation ever. 3 days of cycling in the Sierra foothills, camping under the stars, catered gourmet meals, entertainment, and in-camp activities. It's the 20th annual Emigrant Trails Bike Trek, Friday, September 8th through Sunday, September 10th. This excellent adventure attracts over 400 bicycle riders and helps support Breathe California Sacramento's efforts to improve air quality in our area and to work to eliminate lung disease. Make your plans now and start raising much-needed funds by registering today at sacbreathe.org or by calling 916-444-5900. You can ride as an individual or put together a team of co-workers or friends. Travel at your own pace through stunning scenery, then relax in a camp with massage, yoga, or a beverage from the cantina. Free training rides prepare you for the best bike vacation ever. The 20th Annual Emigrant Trails Bike Trek, September 8th through September 10th. 3 days of cycling, camping, and fun. Go to sacbreathe.org or call 916-444-5900 and sign up today.
Down. Be more active with the Salon Pause patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
He Here's your AM 1320 traffic and weather from the left. I'm Antonio Munez. County Line Road at the 5 Connector, possible fatality. Cap City Freeway at Watt Avenue. There is a vehicle on the right-hand shoulder. Be careful there. Westbound WX portion of Cap City Freeway to northbound 5 Connector. Slow traffic there. The current temperature in Sacramento is 102 degrees. It's heated out there, folks. Be careful. Enid Live returns on Tuesday, August 1st. I'm Antonio Munez on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Enid Goldstein here.
I was in the water before I knew what happened. I reached up to stop an or two from going overboard. The next thing I knew, I was overboard too. Watching my boat, there was nothing I could do to avoid being hit. The first time the propeller cut through my back. The second time, it cut my hand and arm. A moment of operator inattention, a lifetime of can't forget. Because I survived, I can tell you how important it is to be responsible on your boat. Visit BoatSmarter.com and remember, if it's your boat, it's your responsibility.
The fact that somebody like Rush Limbaugh, who has made a career preaching that anybody who does drugs has got to go right to jail, do not pass go, no questions asked, right to jail, gets caught doing 30 OxyContin a day. 30 OxyContin? Do you have any idea how high that is? I don't, and I've been pretty high. But, wow, this guy is putting up Elvis numbers, ladies and gentlemen. But how does he get away with it? They say, well, he's on medication. Oh, see, that's not drugs. You know what, pal? We all got our medication, don't we? They can have an ad on TV that said, ask your doctor if Jack Daniels is right for you. And it would not be out of place thematically.
The odds of you being killed by a terrorist are practically zero. So I say relax and enjoy the show. You have to be a realist. You have to be realistic about terrorism. Certain groups of people, certain groups, Muslim fundamentalists, Christian fundamentalists, Jewish fundamentalists, and just plain guys from Montana, are going to continue to make life in this country very interesting for a long, long time. That's the reality. Angry men in combat fatigues talking to God on a two-way radio and muttering incoherent slogans about freedom are eventually going to provide us with a great deal of entertainment, especially after your stupid economy collapses all around you and the terrorists come out of the woodwork. You'll have anthrax in the water supply and sarin gas in your air conditioners. There'll be chemical and biological suitcase bombs in every city. And I say, enjoy it. Relax. Enjoy the show. Take a chance. Put a little fun in your life.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Janine Garofalo on the Majority Report, Air America Radio.
So we are waiting on Bradley Whitford. I think he's probably struck with such strong emotion that it's probably difficult
right.
for him
either
to
either that or some of the staff here didn't have the backup phone number they were supposed to have. I don't know which it was. He's either overcome by emotion or the backup phone number wasn't where it was supposed to be.
Janine taking a parting shot at the staff.
Oh, it's not a parting shot. It's a parting statement.
And we have him on the phone
Thank
now.
Thank God. Bradley. I don't hear him. I hear nothing.
Bradley Whitford.
Nothing.
Bradley.
No, Bradley.
Yes.
Bradley, you were so quiet.
I'm groggy.
Uh-oh, did we wake you?
No. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
What's going on? How's Studio 360 or 66?
Studio 66666?
Yes.
It's good. I'm, we've done it for 2 days and I'm exhausted.
It's you're shooting in L.A., though, right? Not New York.
Yeah, no, it's in L.A.
And you, it's an Aaron Sorkin project, like The West Wing.
That is correct.
And is it the same kind of Sorkin dialogue where it's a huge amount of expository while you're multitasking, walking down a hallway?
Yeah, except it's more entertaining than that sounds.
Well, no, I just meant like the way it was
that sounds,
Sports Night and West Wing.
That sounds really fast, really entertaining.
No, anybody who's familiar with Aaron Sorkin, Sports Night or West Wing knows what I mean.
It's about basically backstage at a fictional kind of Saturday Night Live kind of thing.
And who do you play?
I play the executive producer with a drug problem.
Lorne Michaels.
Does Lorne Michaels have a drug problem?
No. He's just taking poetic license.
I know nothing about Lorne Michaels.
Me neither. So, Bradley, what have you been up to, and what's been on your mind politically that you'd like to discuss? Is there anything in particular that's been under your craw in a bad way, or something good you'd like to share politically?
Well, you know what? I'll tell you. I was amazed. I was listening to NPR the other day.
Why?
And it was when the president was caught saying poo-poo on the thing. And you know, it's NPR, and they say, you know, we want to warn you. We're going to play this tape, and the president uses a vulgarity. And then they play it, and he says the poo-poo word. And then the next story presented without any warning of vulgarity was the fact that over 5,000 civilians in Iraq have died over the last 2 months. And I just thought, oh, my God, we are so used to this horror show that didn't need to happen. And if you want to talk about vulgarity, I would say that unnecessary war would beat out.
I agree, and I
think poo poo.
Yeah, I've said, you know, that, and I've had this conversation with Sam before. The definition of pornography, I think, means something that is titillating emotionally, but with no social value. Is that correct? So then, can you accuse Fox of that same thing, or any of the right wing or White House staff type of fake news that we get?
Well, I mean, we also live in, and this is a bipartisan problem. We live in a culture where the definition of pornography is the act of creation, but violence is basically entertainment.
Well, it's not just that, but I'm talking about the type of violence that is not from, you know, quote-unquote Hollywood, the type of violence that is coming out of the Middle East right now, or in the sub-Saharan African continent, whatever it is, that is pornographic to me, the way that it's ignored, or the way that it's exploited, or the way that the corporation exploits indigenous peoples around the world. That's all pornography to me.
Well, I would say that there is nothing more pornographic, unchristian, offensive, nothing than an unnecessary war.
Well, you're going out on a limb there with that one, Bradley. I don't know if I can go there with you.
I mean, I know you guys are controversial, and you want...
Whoa.
What do you want, a tinfoil hat or what, my friend? What's going on?
You want the edgy stuff. You know, it's as a parent, this is such a terrifying time. I find myself so angry that you know, we've completely ignored dealing with the peace process, not out of any strategic course, but simply because the president wasn't interested.
I don't know if I think that is the strategy.
Yeah, I think that the
strategy, Bradley, is to that diplomacy is not their game. Their game is antagonize and being tough and aggressive. And what's going on today where Condoleezza Rice said she supported Israel's idea of going in full force and rooting out Hezbollah from Lebanon, so once and for all, that would end the problem.
And
of course,
there are reports
now
that the Lebanese army says they're going to get involved in this fight, which is going to be somewhat problematic for Israel's contention that they're fighting only Hezbollah and not the Lebanese. And
right, and also, you'll hear these guys say, well, you know, the war in Iraq has nothing to do with this and hasn't compromised. I mean, the most perverse achievement of this guy is to have taken a world full of sympathy and with this, you know, absurd lie taking us to war in Iraq. And what I love too about these guys is, like, if you're going to rush to war, have a plan. if you're going to ruin the balance of power in this country by pulling it all over to the executive branch, then know what you're doing. I mean, it's an astonishing combination of arrogance and incompetence.
You know, I think there's a parallel. If you look at how poorly they run government, because they hate government, I mean, that is the one of the benchmarks of conservatism, then obviously, if you have that philosophy, if you have that notion that government is nothing but an obstruction to the people as opposed to something that's supposed to serve the people, then you're obviously never going to be able to do it right. Their whole perspective on what they could achieve with their foreign policy was incompetent because it was so misguided from the beginning.
Right.
And all really Bush has managed to do in Iraq is to ignite what will become a massive bloody civil war that at best will be contained to Iraq and more likely will cross the spectrum of the entire Middle East. You'll have Sunni and Shiite wars warring with each other in every Arab nation.
Well, and the real obscenity too is that these decisions have been made based on political pragmatism. You remember when Clinton hired Dick Morris for 3 months, and everybody said, "Oh my God," you know, and Dick Morris obviously a nightmare himself, but everybody said, "Oh my God, look how political this president is." There's nobody who supports Bush who can look you in the eye and tell you that he could function at all without his political nanny.
Well, yeah, I mean, of course. I mean, frankly, it's clear that there is no policymakers in the White House. There's only political operatives, and they're looking at this entire thing in the Middle East as a political opportunity, and that's it. You know, and I hope they're wrong.
Well, I was watching Gingrich the other day on TV, and he's clearly framing this as it's World War III.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's happening, it's been happening, it's World War III. And what makes me nervous is, amazingly, he may be right, and he's obviously doing it strategically, that if this is framed as a foreign policy nightmare, the Republicans, people will think that Republicans are stronger on foreign policy than the Democrats, which is absolutely astonishing.
It's a myth. It's just like, don't walk under a ladder. Bad luck, right? It's a myth, conventional wisdom, that Republicans are tougher. There's no evidence. But in this case, I don't know, because all of this deterioration that's been going on around the world in ties that America has, America essentially has isolated itself, right? It can't even talk to former allies about these types of crises. I would say that myth is going to have a tougher time spreading,
right,
that Republicans are...
Well, of course. I mean, can you imagine if George Bush had gotten in front of the American public at the beginning of 2003 and say, here's the plan. We're going to go to Iraq. We're going to spend nearly $1 trillion to $2 trillion.
Oh, God.
We're going to ignite a civil war. Then what's going to happen is Israel will reinvade Lebanon for the first time in 25 years and fatally, perhaps, debilitate the Lebanese government, thereby providing absolutely no stability in that country. And then what will happen is, in addition, Hamas and other more extremist radical groups will come to power throughout the Middle East. That's the plan, folks. Are you with me?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And part of it is that, you know, I heard a guy speak who said, he was an Israeli guy who worked on Palestinian human rights. He's a very interesting guy. An Israeli, grew up in Israel, but he worked on human rights for Palestinians. And he said this was before the war. This was, what was it, 4 or 5 years ago. And he said, there's no conventional military solution to terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
If there were, Israel would be terror-free.
Exactly.
but there's no conventional military solution. So what these guys, you know, it's the definition of terrorism that it's not that. So what we've done is it's like the Polish joke where the guy loses his ring in the barn and looks for it under the light out in the street because there's light there.
I heard it was contact lenses and some guy.
This is liberal talk radio. We don't call it a Polish joke. It's just the guy who wasn't very bright.
My wife is Polish. They're using the only tool that they know.
Terrorism is a tactic, not a thing, right? But the thing is Israel wouldn't be quote-unquote tactic-free if there was no Hamas or Hezbollah. There would have to be issues of the occupation addressed, the right of return, the borders.
Right, and remember what they said after 9/11? If you brought up the thought of how our policies may be affecting extremists.
Oh, you get killed. I myself was barraged with hate mail after I brought that up on one of the shows.
It's like, you know, is there any excuse for Adolf Hitler? No. Inexcusable, murderous, devilish bastard. Should you take a look at what conditions created a culture where that guy becomes a hero?
Absolutely. That's what thoughtful people do, but that's not what today's Republican Party does, and that's not what today's conservative movement is about, Bradley. In fact, the opposite is true. If you think, if you have context, if you have history, if you have integrity, and you are a reasonable, thoughtful person, you do not find safe harbor in the Republican Party, and you are not the target audience of the Republican Party.
There's absolutely nothing conservative about treating the environment with contempt, about a budget deficit, about going to war based on false intelligence without a plan. There's nothing conservative about anything he's done. These guys are
it's just a word.
Ideologues.
Now, listen, we only have a minute left. I want to segue to something that may be a little bit more important.
My hairline?
No.
Yeah, I think your hairline looks fabulous, Bradley. I don't know why you bring that up
yourself.
All the time.
Don't kid yourself. That's a very sexy part of you, Bradley.
Thank you.
We all think so.
What is far more important is, are you willing to come out and tell us some stories about Ron Silver now?
Oh, that's right.
Please.
Has Janine told you any stories?
Well, I have not really. While I was on the show, I was asked very nicely by Alex not to say anything derogatory because it just would be immature of me to do so. Ron Silver and I did not get along well, but I didn't mind acting with him in some scenes because he's a very good actor. I mean, that's
Ron Silver, by the way, is a spectacular actor.
He is very good, and he likes to laugh. I'll give him that. He's a laugher, which is a good trait.
He is a laugher, and I really enjoyed arguing with him.
I loved his work in Fahrenheit 9/11. That voiceover he did was fantastic.
But by the way, by the end of this, and by the way, when I turn on the television and I see, like, when Schwarzenegger got elected and they have on CNN Ron Silver, Democratic activist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which they use Ron as the, you know, sort of a liberal Hollywood guy who's
the Joe Lieberman of Hollywood.
Right. It's absurd. And I can tell you this, and I'll be happy to debate this with Ron if he ever hears this. He had no. By the last time we worked together, you know, he thought these. It was indefensible the way these people have conducted the war. I mean, he had no arguments.
No, he never had any arguments.
They never do.
Of course he didn't. But early on, he was part of the. You know, and but,
what will you do? What will you do with a feckless UN when Iran has a nuclear weapon? What will you do?
Well, I remember before the war started being with Ron in Washington, and I said I was talking about how ridiculous attacking Iraq was, and he said, "Yo, screw them! They attacked my city.
They attacked my city. They will greet us with flowers and candy."
No, it's all about you, Ron, and your city. Bradley, thank you so much.
I love you. I miss you.
I'm coming to L.A. soon, so maybe if you have one spare moment, we can get some coffee or something.
I would love to do that. Are you bringing your dogs?
Oh, no. Oh, no. I'm only going to be in L.A. for 8 days. I can't bring them there for that.
Are you going to have them put to sleep?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
There you go. Right. Let the nasty letters from Peter Collar come.
Bye, Bradley
Whitford, thank you so much for joining us.
We'll okay.
We'll be right back on the Majority Report.
America under attack. They can break the rules, dismantle the courts, and feed at the corporate trough.
People like this are a menace to decent society.
But they can't stop the Majority Report on Air America Radio.
It's Enid Live, weekday afternoon.
It's the best bike vacation ever. 3 days of cycling in the Sierra foothills, camping under the stars, catered gourmet meals, entertainment, and in-camp activities. It's the 20th annual Emigrant Trails Bike Trek, Friday, September 8th through Sunday, September 10th. This excellent adventure attracts over 400 bicycle riders and helps support Breathe California Sacramento's efforts to improve air quality in our area and to work to eliminate lung disease. Make your plans now and start raising much-needed funds by registering today at sacbreathe.org or by calling 916-444-5900. You can ride as an individual or put together a team of co-workers or friends. Travel at your own pace through stunning scenery, then relax in a camp with massage, yoga, or a beverage from the cantina. Free training rides prepare you for the best bike vacation ever. The 20th Annual Immigrant Trails Bike Trek, September 8th through September 10th. 3 days of cycling, camping, and fun. Go to sacbreathe.org or call 916-444-5900 and sign up today.
You know something? There's nothing wrong with a culture where everyone has a different idea of what's humorous. The last time I can remember an entire nation being on the same page, it was Germany in the late 30s, and it didn't really turn out that funny. Remember, in its time and place, what Hitler said was considered politically correct. And it's that blind adherence to what is situationally palatable that is truly dangerous. We should question it all, poke fun at it all, rail against it all, and most importantly, for Christ's sake, laugh at it all. Because the only thing separating Holy Writ from complete visual is your perspective. It's your only weapon. Keep the safety off. Don't take yourself too seriously. Remember that at the end of the day, this is just an ant farm with beepers, and it takes zero politically correct society to screw in a light bulb because they are perpetually in the dark. Of course, that's just my opinion. I could be wrong.
People that have to be really, really happy about all this news about the war is the Catholic Church. Oh, yeah, they got to be happy because they're off the front page of the paper for the first time in a long time. Woo! Woo! And I am a recovering Catholic. Some of you are here tonight, yes? So I've been following this story. I went to 16 years of Catholic education. I'm lucky I'm alive. I went to Our Lady of Psychological Warfare. I've always felt that if women have to be in the military, they should only be lesbians. Because we would never get around to having a war. Right? Because we'd have to have some meetings. A war in October? What about the softball banquet?
Hey, you streaming listeners, open your media player and click on the link to NoHaggleMortgage.com right now, and you can save thousands on your mortgage loan. It's simple, easy, and takes less than 30 seconds. For the first time, homeowners can now have direct access to the same rates that mortgage brokers get.
That's right, the same rates that mortgage brokers get.
Three things allow NoHaggleMortgage.com to get the lowest mortgage rates in the industry. One, no commissions to pay to loan officers. Two, most of the work is done over the internet, saving you a lot. lot of money.
Three,
no haggling. Click on the link now, then click on Quick Quote to find out what rate you can get. Get your money faster and save thousands. No gimmicks, no middleman, no haggling. Just simple, fast, friendly, low-rate mortgage loans. Skip the loan officer. Go direct to NoHaggleMortgage.com. You're already online. Take 30 seconds and find out for yourself. Or go to NoHaggleMortgage.com. Check it out today. Licensed by the DOC.
Sam Cedar and Janine Garofalo on the Majority Report, Air America Radio.
So, Janine, you'll remember last night I was talking about that story that a lot of Republicans are running from George Bush and his position on the war. John Thune from South Dakota said if I was running now, first time, about the first thing I would do is distance myself with George Bush. And a lot of Republicans are now Don lights on Marblehead when it's politically expedient for them now to realize that, oh, my God, there's a civil war in Iraq. Maybe we shouldn't have gone in there, or this thing has been handled incompetently.
You know, I'm waiting for Bill Kristol to say something. Remember the Bill Kristol?
Oh, Bill Kristol did.
Bill Kristol was saying,
for a while he was saying, this war has been really botched by Don Rumsfeld. What we need to do is, what he's saying now is, we need to go into Iran and Syria. Now, of course, he doesn't sort of have a little asterisk there and saying, oh, incidentally, we should get rid of the guys who screwed it up the first time.
No, not just that. But what about when that arrogant statement that we played where he was like, there's no evidence to support there'll be a civil war in Iraq. Everybody, this pop psychology wisdom that Sunnis can't get along with Shias. Remember that thing when he was on?
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, that's down the memory hole, as it were. But we have another example. Joe Lieberman obviously did get the memo. Here is Joe Lieberman, number 10.
Such behavior is not just inappropriate. It is immoral.
Mm.
And it is harmful. For it sends a message of what is acceptable behavior to the larger American family, particularly to our children. He failed to show, I think, that he understood his behavior had diminished the office he holds and the country he serves. And that it is inconsistent with the mainstream American values that he has advanced as president.
Wow. I can't believe he said that about George Bush.
That was very bold. What? Oh, no. I'm sorry. Justin screwed up. That was Joe Lieberman talking about Bill Clinton.
Oh.
Can you imagine?
You know, when something's too good to be true, it usually is.
So this
I
guy.
I made that up.
Let's just. Holy Joe. Gets out and is willing to say this about Clinton, but when Democrats question what's going on with the war, Joe Lieberman comes out and says, you do it at your own peril.
I've always rejected labels. I like to think of myself as a Democrat who's independent.
Oh.
He likes to do it. I mean, doesn't make it.
We are a country based on a vision, a belief in creationism, and I believe, based on what I've just said, that America itself is a faith-based initiative.
Yeah, can I get those two buzzwords in there? And I'm stuttering because he has a little trouble because creationism, because even he's having a hard time swallowing.
We'll be right back. Lamour Sylvain, Matt Taibbi, and many more on Janine.
It's the best bike vacation ever. 3 days of cycling in the Sierra foothills, camping under the stars, catered gourmet meals, entertainment, and in-camp activities. It's the 20th annual Emigrant Trails Bike Trek, Friday, September 8th through Sunday, September 10th. This excellent adventure attracts over 400 bicycle riders and helps support Breathe California Sacramento's efforts to improve air quality in our area and to work to eliminate lung disease. Make your plans now and start raising much-needed funds by registering today at sacbreathe.org or by calling 916-444-5900. You can ride as an individual or put together a team of co-workers or friends. Travel at your own pace through stunning scenery, then relax in a camp with massage, yoga, or a beverage from the cantina. Free training rides prepare you for the best bike vacation ever. The 20th Annual Emigrant Trails Bike Trek, September 8th through September 10th. 3 days of cycling, camping, and fun. Go to sacbreathe.org or call 916-444-5900 and sign up today.
If Al Gore's movie on global warming is correct, as you know, the ice caps are shrinking. You all know about that. The glaciers are shrinking. The only thing not shrinking, Al Gore, apparently. Have you seen Al? Not shrinking. I tell you, and the heat, it puts people in a bad mood. You know, in fact, coming into work today, people were swearing like President Bush near an open mic. It was unbelievable.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Listening to AM 1320 KCTC.
Sacramento.
Sacramento's left channel. Because you deserve the truth.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice says she'll leave for the Middle East on Sunday.
The goal of my trip is to work with our partners to help create conditions that can lead to a lasting and sustainable end to the violence.
The violence continued for a tenth day. That was the sound in Haifa, Israel, where more Hezbollah missiles rained down, injuring 19 people. CBS News correspondent Lara Logan reports the Israeli army continued its buildup along the border.
Today, Israel upped the ante by preparing the ground inside South Lebanon for an invading force. Leaflets dropped from the sky warned Lebanese civilians to withdraw behind the Litani River, some 13 miles inside Lebanese territory. An indication of the planned area of operations. They also sent more troops across the border on pinpoint raids and maintained the pressure with continued artillery attacks.
Reportedly, Israel does not plan a full-scale invasion. For the second time in 3 days, parts of the Midwest have been battered by storms, a big setback for utility crews. In the St. Louis area now, nearly 500,000 homes and businesses are without power. Patty York, the mayor of St. Charles, Missouri, says about three-quarters of that city has no electricity.
Street lights out. Traffic is a nightmare. People have all kind of left work and are trying to get home. We're putting up temporary stop signs as everywhere that we can.
John Mills of CBS television affiliate KMOV went to Trenton, Illinois, where power lines were ripped down and roads were blocked by falling trees.
The only good news in all of this is that the storms have brought with them cooler temperatures. So we're talking about temperatures in the 80s, still high humidity, but nowhere near those 100-degree temperatures we've had for the last few days.
In Oklahoma City, where it hit 107 today, a section of Interstate 44 buckled from the heat. 8 people have been hospitalized in Worcester, Massachusetts after being struck by lightning. One woman nearly died. Police say they were standing near a tree when the bolt hit. Jack Warden's business manager says it was old age. Everything gave up, out. The actor died at a hospital in New York Wednesday. He was 85. Warden was a fixture in the movies. Here's a clip from the 1979 film, And Justice for All.
You are out of order!
You're out of order! You're out of order! The whole trial is out of order!
Gentlemen, need I remind you, you are in a court of law?
Leonard Maltin of Entertainment Tonight looks at Jack Warden's career.
He got 2 Oscar nominations. He was in great films like All the President's Men, Shampoo. He got an Oscar nomination for Heaven Can Wait, TV series of The Bad News Bears. He never stopped working.
Warden starred in the 1980s TV comedy Crazy Like a Fox. On Wall Street, a down day. The Dow Industrials lost 59 points to finish the week at 10,868. The Nasdaq down 19. This is CBS News.
It's a never-ending necessity for more and more office space.
For retail leases, I hand you, it's almost a book.
50 pages of legalese.
Am I going to be able to do this?
Calling the realtor should be the first thing you do.
When he got here, I could see he was wearing that realtor pin.
That's the guy to talk to.
Buying or leasing a commercial property? Let someone with expertise and experience be your partner. Ask your agent if they're a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
Really helped me take my business where I wanted it to go.
A message from your local, state, and national realtor associations.
Wake up! It's time for the semi-annual jewelry and watch sale at Overstock.com. If you're looking for a fun fashion statement with some bling or exquisite jewelry by some of the hottest designers, like John Atencio and Damiani, Overstock.com has reduced prices at an additional 15%. Stunning watches by Invicta, Movado, Tag Heuer, and more. Name brands up to 70% off. Don't wait. The sale ends midnight July 24th. Shop Overstock.com.
The rape trial got national attention, and former Naval Academy quarterback Lamar Owens was convicted on two lesser charges. But WTOP Radio's Neil Augenstein reports he can still pursue his dream of a career in the Navy.
The punishment? No punishment. The military panel that cleared Owens of a rape charge and convicted him of conduct unbecoming an officer could have imposed 18 months in prison or had Owens dismissed from the Navy.
They had to come to terms with their decision and decide punishment. And the punishment they found appropriate was no punishment. That speaks volumes.
Owens attorney Reed Weingarten. In court, Owens apologized for the attention he brought to the Naval Academy. He made no mention of the woman who accused him. Neil Augenstein for CBS News, Washington.
Tragedy today at the Elephant Sanctuary in southern Tennessee. A female handler was killed, another handler injured by an elephant. We don't know the circumstances. In some cases, elephants at the sanctuary are used to perform in circuses. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
On the Majority Report, I'm Janine Garofalo here with Sam Cedar on Casual Shabbat. Later in the program will be Israeli peace activist Lamor Sivan and also Rolling Stone political writer and political activist Matt Taibbi. Sam, what do you got?
Well, I want to talk a little bit about this, what's happening with public schools. We mentioned this the other day, but before we get to that, lawmakers, this is from the AP. Lawmakers accused the Bush administration Thursday of rushing a sale of F-16 fighter jets to Pakistan, saying Congress's role in approving arms sales had been compromised. Opponents acknowledged they could do little to stop the $5 billion deal. Democrats and Republicans lashed out at the State Department for giving them only 30 days to consider the deal. That period runs out next week. The administration, they say, failed to provide an extra 20 days, which is tradition. Now you've got a situation here where we're selling these F-16s to a country which is, first of all, is teetering on overthrow by radical fundamentalists, much like has happened in this country. And you've got a situation where there is nearly, with the recent terrorist attacks in Mumbai, you've got tensions ratcheted up between India and Pakistan to such a level at this point where, we've had many occasions over the past 5 or 6 years, really over the past 10 years, where Pakistan and India have come close to war. And this is just one more, inexplicable, really foreign policy move by the Bush administration that is in no way creating stability or making us in any way safer. I mean, this is a country that gave, through the AQ Khan network, nuclear weapon technology to Korea Iran.
That's correct,
we have not been able to even interview this guy. I mean, it is astonishing.
But now it is supposed to be unstable. And also, you're supposed to make a lot of money selling your weapons. That's A. There's a lot of cronyism with contracts, this, that, and the other. But stability is not good for the Bush administration or the Republican Party, is it? It is much better to have threat after threat after threat, real or perceived or perpetuated based on very little. But I think that if there was a desire, a real, genuine, authentic desire for stability, there would not be these decisions made. And in fact, I think some of these decisions are made even above and beyond Cheney and Bush. Now, is the Carlyle Group even above that? Is Boeing, Lockheed Martin even above that? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, are these decisions made in other boardrooms, in other offices?
It really is very hard to understand. I mean, it really is. I mean, because there's a lot of ways that they could make money, these $5 billion. But, one wonders if this isn't somehow some type of payback for George Bush letting India basically skirt the nuclear non-proliferation deal. I mean, people remember that on his trip to India, I don't know, I guess it was about a month or two ago when he was trying to make it look like he was actually in control of something that's happening internationally. He basically gave away the store to India, who is not a signatory to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Act, and basically said, he basically said, look, here's the deal. You let us inspect your nuclear facilities that are meant for civilian use, and we won't inspect your nuclear facilities that are used for military purposes, and we'll sell you nuclear technology. Well, I mean, of course. I mean, this is, and then of course this sends the wrong message to Iran because they realize, like, look, the bottom line here is that we got to get nukes.
But don't you think that it is possible that there is, in no different than gangs on the street level, there are people you could effectively call gangs, gang members, that are elites and are highly connected in various nations around the world that deal in arms and that deal in these decisions. And they swirl around above the heads of anyone we see. We'll never meet these people, we'll never hear their names. But these decisions are made, and maybe Cheney gets the memo. And then gets the talking points from there. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, I feel like it is no different than any gang warfare where drugs and arms are traded or it's bought and sold, and, you know, one hand washes the other in many different ways.
I mean, I think that's true. What really is shocking is that there is, you know, and I certainly don't subscribe to this perspective on foreign policy, but there is a foreign policy elite that was very much associated with the Republican Party at one point. People like Kissinger and Danforth and James Baker and these types of people who subscribed to this notion of realpolitik, where there was actually, you could disagree with it because it was rather heartless and human beings were simply
shit. Realpolitik just means, you know what, humans are collateral damage and whatever, let the chips fall where they may as long as America, England, and Israel are number one.
Exactly, and that has you know, these guys seem to be nowhere to be found. Okay, let's we got a phone call, line 10. Welcome to the program. Who's this?
Hello. Hi, is this Janine?
Yes.
Hi, this is your big fan, Eric Alterman.
Oh, it's Eric Alterman,
the man who coined the phrase Archie Bunker with a diploma in punditocracy.
Yes, indeed, author of
that's
100
books. Going to live on after we're all dead.
I'm having it on my gravestone. Any good liberal would.
It's in the OED. It doesn't have to be on your gravestone. You can save your gravestone for other things.
Well, what better? What better use could I put, you know? But enough about my gravestone. Eric, how are you?
I'm okay. No, I won't pretend I'm great, but I'm okay. How are you, honey?
I'm okay. This is my last night here. Me and Josh Orton are going to be leaving. I'll be back intermittently to sub for Sam. But we were just talking about, let me run this up your flagpole, see who salutes.
So to speak.
Yeah, I'll be careful.
Honey, I've been saluting you with my flagpole for years now.
Hello! No, you should. I wish you'd do the Law and Order sound for that one instead.
That's one of those lines about, let's not like a
what?
They know that famous Carson line, okay, move the cat.
Oh, yeah, but don't say it. We're not allowed to, FCC. You know, the P word.
Yeah, don't worry.
Pusillanimous. Yeah. But anyway, so, Eric, what I was just saying to Sam was we were discussing the rushing of the sale of the F-16s to Pakistan. And it seemingly has no logic behind it when there's growing instability between India and Pakistan and all these other nations. And I said, is it possible there are elites above and beyond Cheney and Bush and anyone that we see or the Trilateral Commission or anything that deal in the sale of arms? And they make these decisions, and then Cheney and Bush find out about it later.
Janine, honey, I love that you're ending on this crazy left-wing conspiratorial note.
Hang on, let me get my tinfoil hat.
I had a Shiite Muslim Iranian girlfriend in Paris in 1984 to 86.
Uh-huh.
And I used to hang out with all these Shiite Muslim Paris expatriates.
Mm-hmm.
And this was in, again, 84, 86. And they were all convinced that Khomeini was working for the United States.
I actually have heard that as well.
Because the Shah refused to instigate a war with Iraq, and the American arms dealers were getting itchy. So they America overthrew the Shah and put Khomeini in power so that he would inspire Saddam Hussein to attack him, and then Iran and Iraq would both buy weapons from the United States. So that's kind of what this reminds me of.
No, actually, it's not the same at all. I'm asking you if there are people that are so concerned with profits for arms that they make decisions that...
Every time the United States wants to, quote, prop up a regime, and an unstable regime, I agree, and the last regime in the world you want to fall because they have nuclear weapons. But every time the United States has wanted to prop up a regime since the 1950s, the way it started is by selling them the most sophisticated possible arms, because it's viewed, A, as an endorsement of, you know, the United States is showing that it has confidence in the regime, and B, it's good for the campaign contributors who make a profit off it. So it's not inconsistent with the way these people think of what is the way to operate U.S. foreign policy. Arms sales, we've been doing it with Saudi Arabia now for 50 years. Arms sales are a way of saying, we believe you're going to stick around. People may say you're unstable, you're about to be overthrown by crazy Islamic fundamentals, but no, the United States believes in you, and we're going to prove it by making a big profit off your arms, you know, by selling you these arms.
So that's not that different than what I said.
It is different because it doesn't require the kind of conspiracy you're describing.
No. It's not a conspiracy to make money off arms.
No, I know, but it's like, you know, it's like the invasion of Iraq. The invasion of Iraq, you can come up with any number of reasons why it was beneficial to people, even though it was a bad idea for the country. But those don't have to be the only reason. All the reasons go together. So, yes, it was good for Halliburton, and yes, it was good for Bush's edible complex, and yes, it was good for Israel, but those don't have to be inconsistent with the reasons, well, they thought it was strategically a good idea, and they completely misread the whole situation.
In fact, I would add,
this is strategically a good idea, plus it makes their friends rich and the people who fund their campaigns rich, so that makes it a doubly good idea.
But in fact, I think there's also even a third description where those factors lead to the conclusions that it's a good idea. In other words, you are surrounded by people who are incented to believe that strategically this is a wise move. And, you know, when people have a vested interest in a certain outcome, they begin to build rationales, whether it's insincere or sincere. But I think in this case it could have even been sincere.
Sammy boy?
Yeah.
First of all, I'm kind of hurt. Here I am on the air. I didn't get that long introduction.
Dude, I was going to do it on the outro.
Actually, it's my fault that I jumped in early.
Second of all, you know, it's just really a matter of your worldview. None of us know, and there'll never be any evidence to prove it, because this kind of thing doesn't get put on paper. So it's just a question of what we attribute to them. And I think that most of these guys have a very uncomplicated view of the world. There's good guys and bad guys. And anything that helps the good guys is good, and anything that hurts the bad guys is good or whatever. And the invasion of Iraq and the sale of S-15s to Pakistan, it helps the people that they think of as the good guys, and that's all there is to it. You don't need all this complicated plotting. Now, maybe the people who make the F-16s, I guess it's Boeing or Grote, I think it's Boeing, maybe they're doing some plotting and getting these things, and, you know, maybe that's possible. I think Syriana is basically a largely truthful view of the way the world works from those people's perspective, but from the decision-makers' perspective, it's not like these guys ever have to take orders from Boeing or King Fahd or anything. It's that they believe this stuff, and it's completely consistent with their worldview, and so it happens.
Well, don't you think that you can, as you become more of a careerist in the White House, your worldview becomes much more informed by the Syriana type thinking?
I do. I mean, and maybe we're not disagreeing. I just think that you don't need a conspiracy for it to happen. I think it works on it's a machine that runs by itself.
Well, I think it's a shame that you guys couldn't disagree on Janine's last night. I think it's an absolute darn shame.
I got to tell you, I started out my relationship with Janine, my psychic relationship with Janine, having a big crush on her when she was the writer on Larry Sanders.
The talent booker on Larry Sanders.
Yeah. And then I had some problems with you and some of your crazy ideas, and I got mad at you a few times when I co-hosted with you when Sam was away. But now I'm back to loving you again on account of West Wing. I love that.
Oh, there you go. So the thing is, it's really catch as catch can. It's eggshell time with Altman. I can blow it again.
I think it's good to end on this note. I'm glad that there's love between you. Of course, Eric Alterman, author of What Liberal Media, The Truth About Bias in the News, the book on Bush, How George W. Misleads America, When Presidents Lie, A History of Deception and Its Consequences, His Sound and Fury, The Making of the Punditocracy, It Ain't No Sin to Be Glad You're Alive, The Promise of Bruce Springsteen, Who Speaks for America, Why Democracy Matters in Foreign Policy, and of course, When Presidents Lie. I say it twice because it's such an important book, and he's also a professor at Brooklyn College. Amongst the other things, you can see him in many different literary,
fine literary magazines,
and of course,
senior fellow for something, Tank or other.
Progress?
Center for American Progress. And the World Policy Institute, but the center pays me, and the World Policy stopped paying me a long time.
Well, I don't mention the ones that don't pay you.
Yeah,
I've learned my lesson.
Yeah, right. Sorry, I've bawled you out about that a few times. So, listen, this has been really fun. Janine, I hope I can come back sometime when you're back.
Yes.
Not that I don't love Sam.
I was going to say, I don't know how to take that, but I'll try and recover.
Thank you.
I'm one of your biggest promoters. You know that.
I just don't know what I should.
Oh, your book. I liked your book. You know what I loved about your book?
What's that?
What's it called? FUBAR.
Yeah. America's right-wing nightmare.
I knew you'd love the Tom Friedman stuff.
I just laugh out loud. But what stops me from laughing out loud about it is how damn true it is.
Yeah. It's tragic comedy.
Tell me about it. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. Thank you, Eric Alterman.
The Majority Report.
May God continue to bless the United States of America.
God bless us all. If there is a God.
It's the Morning Retort with...
It's the best bike vacation ever. 3 days of cycling in the Sierra foothills, camping under the stars, catered gourmet meals, entertainment, and in-camp activities. It's the 20th annual Emigrant Trails Bike Trek, Friday, September 8th through Sunday, September 10th. This excellent adventure attracts over 400 bicycle riders and helps support Breathe California Sacramento's efforts to improve air quality in our area and to work to eliminate lung disease. Make your plans now and start raising much-needed funds by registering today at sacbreathe.org or by calling 916-444-5900. You can ride as an individual or put together a team of co-workers or friends. Travel at your own pace through stunning scenery, then relax in a camp with massage, yoga, or a beverage from the cantina. Free training rides prepare you for the best bike vacation ever. The 20th Annual Immigrant Trails Bike Trek, September 8th through September 10th. 3 days of cycling, camping, and fun. Go to sacbreathe.org or call 916-444-5900 and sign up today. It's the best bike vacation ever. 3 days of cycling in the Sierra foothills, camping under the stars, catered gourmet meals, entertainment, and in-camp activities. It's the 20th Annual Emigrant Trails Bike Trek, Friday, September 8th through Sunday, September 10th. This excellent adventure attracts over 400 bicycle riders and helps support Breathe California Sacramento's efforts to improve air quality in our area and to work to eliminate lung disease. Make your plans now and start raising much-needed funds by registering today at sacbreathe.org or by calling 916-444-5900. You can ride as an individual or put together a team of co-workers or friends. Travel at your own pace through stunning scenery, then relax in a camp with massage, yoga, or a beverage from the cantina. Free training rides prepare you for the best bike vacation ever. The 20th Annual Immigrant Trails Bike Trek, September 8th through September 10th. 3 days of cycling, camping, and fun. Go to sacbreathe.org or call 916-444-5900 and sign up today.
Take a
Janine Garofalo here with Sam Cedar. We are still waiting for our friend Limor Sivan, Israeli peace activist. She was also with, her family lives in Israel right now. She grew up there. She was one of the first female embedded journalists in Israel's first and second intifadas. Now, speaking of intifadas, I was reading an article saying this is perhaps the start of the third intifada. What do you say to that?
Well, I mean, you know, there's been a surprising lack of reporting on what's going on in the West Bank and what's going on in Gaza right now.
Well, there have been protests, peace protests in Israel by Israeli peace activists like Limor. There's a huge Israeli liberal left peaceful body like the Palestinians that have been both protesting Israeli incursions into Lebanon.
See, I mean, I think this is something that, you know, people don't realize, that Israeli society is not monolithic in their support for this. And certainly, you know, the Lebanon incursion aside, there is even more polarization about Israel's occupation of Palestine and the West Bank and the Gaza. And, you know, I think this is something that American Jews have little consciousness of. And you find so many people, like, for instance, I mean, we know the stories that that Joe Lieberman's friends and apostates and seconds are putting out there in the media. That, and somehow, oh, we're running out of time.
Oh, my Lord.
Yes,
sorry
we
about
went
that.
So long with Eric Alterman.
When sorry about back, these commercials coming up.
When we come back, I'll tell you the story of what the White House is doing to promote John Bolton. If you can imagine, somehow now John Bolton's good for the Jews. I don't know. Maybe I should call my family and see if we all agree on that. Because I think...
I don't think so.
We'll be right back on the Majority Report at America Radio.
Majority Report on Air America Radio. You're listening to AM 13.
It's the best bike vacation ever. 3 days of cycling in the Sierra foothills, camping under the stars, catered gourmet meals, entertainment, and in-camp activities. It's the 20th annual Emigrant Trails Bike Trek, Friday, September 8th through Sunday, September 10th. This excellent adventure attracts over 400 bicycle riders and helps support Breathe California Sacramento's efforts to improve air quality in our area and to work to eliminate lung disease. Make your plans now and start raising much-needed funds by registering today at sacbreathe.org or by calling 916-444-5900. You can ride as an individual or put together a team of co-workers or friends. Travel at your own pace through stunning scenery, then relax in a camp with massage, yoga, or a beverage from the cantina. Free training rides prepare you for the best bike vacation ever. The 20th Annual Immigrant Trails Bike Trek, September 8th through September 10th. 3 days of cycling, camping, and fun. Go to sacbreathe.org or call 916-444-5900 and sign up today. It's the best bike vacation ever. 3 days of cycling in the Sierra foothills, camping under the stars, catered gourmet meals, entertainment, and in-camp activities. It's the 20th annual Emigrant Trails Bike Trek, Friday, September 8th through Sunday, September 10th. This excellent adventure attracts over 400 bicycle riders and helps support Breathe California Sacramento's efforts to improve air quality in our area and to work to eliminate lung disease. Make your plans now and start raising much-needed funds by registering today at sacbreathe.org or by calling
916-444-5900. You can ride as an individual or put together a team of co-workers or friends. Travel at your own pace through stunning scenery, then relax in a camp with massage, yoga, or a beverage from the cantina. Free training rides prepare you for the best bike vacation ever. The 20th Annual Immigrant Trails Bike Trek, September 8th through September 10th. 3 days of cycling, camping, and fun. Go to sacbreeze.org or call 916-444-5900 and sign up today.
Americans are being swept up in an international dragnet. Thousands of FBI agents are on the trail of other citizens here and abroad. It has everything to do with hate and evil and murder and prejudice. America's strong, strong, strong.
Federal agents, we are armed!
Cache Creek Casino Resort. Win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpots. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Maka Ferguson singing right there. Hey, Bob Odenkirk, if you're listening, call us. Bob, Senator Tankerville.
Well, don't give it all away.
No. I didn't give anything away. I was just going to say, Senator Tankerville, if you're listening, please call us.
It's quite a coincidence that you said those two names in a row.
I don't know why. What do you mean? What are you talking about? If you want to get an argument over this, we can.
866-303-2270.
But I can't find Senator Tankerville's cell phone. Number.
Why would you have that?
So odd that he would carry a sign.
Well, he gave it to me the one time.
So let's talk about this story I was mentioning before that, you've got Joe Lieberman's people claiming that the reason why people are against Joe Lieberman is because there's some type of anti-Semitism involved, or that if you're a good Jew, you'll vote for Joe Lieberman because he's so strong on Israel. I mean, I don't necessarily think that, quite frankly, Israel is in any danger. I don't know of any presidential candidate who has run for anything, any party, or whether it's in any primary, who has not been a strong supporter of Israel. Israel gets quite a bit of
support. You're not allowed not to be. And AIPAC won't allow it, and conventional wisdom won't allow you to be anything other than fully supportive, in the same way that Fox News pretends if you've traveled to Lebanon, it's treasonous.
But, you know, I mean, the fact of the matter is that there is a difference between support and blind support. And there is also, support can also be considered as providing a context in which Israel does not have to go and fight in this situation, or providing a buffer, or at least some restraint for them. You know, I can support you, Janine, but I'm part of doing that is not necessarily saying to you, you should drink the rest of this bottle of wine. You know, I mean, there's...
Well, it's like Barbara Bush covered up. Last night, Jack hit said Barbara Bush, out of love, covered up for him. That's not real healthy love. You don't cover up for somebody who's a failure in every area by pretending the failure isn't happening.
Yes, and in this instance, you know, clearly, you know, Israel may be acting in its best interest and they're a sovereign nation, but let's not forget that we give them $2 billion a year and every single weapon they're using, maybe not every single, but certainly the vast majority of them, have been provided by us. So be that as it may... the Bush administration, very strange, is, and this is coming from Steve Clemens, our friend at the Washington Note. Several reports have come to the Washington Note that Jay Zeidman, the influential, you ready for this, Janine?
Yes, sir.
24-year-old White House liaison to the Jewish community is putting out the call to prominent American Jewish organizations to support John Bolton. With the arm-twisting innuendo that in this time of crisis in the Middle East, American Jews need to line up behind the guy Jesse Helms said, quote, is the kind of man with whom I'd want to stand at Armageddon. If it should be my lot to be on hand for what is forecast to be the final battle between good and evil in this world. So this is the person that this Jay Zeidman is asking Jews to support. John Bolton. Let's do the necklace at the break.
No, you're that way,
well, I was stalling because Lamour's here.
No, I know. I'm.
We only have two segments with her.
I understand that. Keep talking. She can still talk while I tie this necklace on her.
Well, people can't hear you talking now.
No. Just shut up and read your story and stop.
Are we on the air?
Yes, of course we're on the air. Yes. That's exactly the point, Lamour. That's why I'm saying.
There is no need for this to have stopped you from talking, and it doesn't stop Lamour from talking.
The putting the necklace on.
But I'm interested in what you were just talking about.
At least bring the mic close to you, Lamour.
I'm really interested in what you were just talking about.
Well, you've got the White House now encouraging Jews to support the renomination of John Bolton, who was never confirmed by the Senate. He was a recess appointment, and they're going to bring him up again. And this Jay Zeidman, the 24-year-old White House liaison to the Jewish community. Can you imagine you get a 24-year-old to do this?
What does he know?
I think he knows just not enough to be able to be the White House liaison to the Jewish community.
Let's think about this for a second. 10 years ago, he was 14.
Yes.
And many important things happened 10 years ago that he should like have experienced maybe to kind of...
Well, I mean...
He's just hired and told what to do. It doesn't matter what he knows or doesn't know, right?
It is
a White House staffer.
Well, I mean, frankly, it's an insult, I think, to Jewish people that you're going to have a 24-year-old who knows nothing about the context of what's going on in the world and has no real-world experience with this stuff tell the Jewish community that we should support John Bolton because if he isn't confirmed, somehow the terrorists win.
Sam, since when does context and knowledge have anything to do with the Bush administration's policy or spokespeople?
Well, you know, Jewish people are very smart, Janine. And
maybe the smart 24-year-old.
You can be very smart 24-year-old.
Look at Albert Einstein.
Let's call him. Maybe he's listening. I want to talk to him.
Jay Zeidman, if you're listening.
Please, you can't pick up a phone? What does it take?
Well, I can understand if you can't pick up a phone. It is Shabbat. But if you know a Gentile in your neighborhood who could perhaps dial the phone for you and call in, why wouldn't you be able to talk?
You
We'd love to talk to you.
Yes, and don't forget, folks, Bill O'Reilly says liberal Jews. Like, I think we have two of them in the studio, at least.
Yes.
Justin, you're not Jewish,
no, three.
Right?
We got Josh Shorten, we got Lamar Savon, and Sam Cedar, who are all liberal Jews. So,
well, you know, we believe the terrorists should win.
That's what Bill O'Reilly says.
According to, yeah.
Bill O'Reilly says that we want the terrorists to win.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really, really very deep understanding of what liberalism is.
And what Judaism is.
And what Judaism is.
And terrorism,
absolutely,
for that matter.
Absolutely.
Now, Lamar, let's just start talking. Just start talking.
Well, I don't know where to begin, man, because I've spent the entire last couple of weeks basically watching live Israeli television, just all, you know, whatever stations I can stream online and talk to my family. We're all on pins and needles because I do have a brother who, you know, is a tank commander, and that's not fun to kind of... But the general feeling, which is really interesting to me when I watch the Israeli media, is that the one thing about the Israeli media I will say is that they have a point of view, but they also always make sure that all points of views are heard. In fact, there are actually Arab reporters that submit stories and talk about what's happening in Lebanon and the humanitarian. I mean, the Israelis see what's happening to the Lebanese on the other side, and it's not like they're oblivious to it. And not only that, it's kind of a factor, but at the same time, there's like this awful shorthand that Israelis have about war. It's me too, honestly. I just, it's kind of like been there, done that. It brings back bad memories, especially Lebanon, I gotta say. But they're like, I can't even, the diplomatic efforts are something that they understand will come, but they have no faith in.
Well, you are from, give people who might not be familiar with you, your background, where you lived, and then what your role was as a journalist in Israel.
I was born in Tel Aviv, and when I was in the army, I was basically a reporter for the army radio station. And that basically entails you running around and being kind of essentially embedded with whoever they send you. And I went up to the north, in fact, a lot of the reporters that I see now on television were people that I worked with. So I saw the Intifada begin. I saw the escalation of it. It was all in like the you know, 83 to 86, which basically gave me sort of a very, very early on point of view in terms of the conflict, and kind of in my mind solidified where I was in that battle. But then I came here to make movies.
So when you say shorthand, when you were there, verbal shorthand for a state of war? What do you mean?
That is a shorthand as a kid, I have too. You know, I mean, I remember. I mean, those sirens give me the heebie-jeebies when I see them on television, because this meant going down to the shelter. You know, when I was younger, I mean, my first memory as a child is being swooped up by my grandfather and running to a bomb shelter, and that was like 1967. I was like 2.5. So, what I mean by shorthand is that everybody kind of gets it. They know what to do. They joke about it. Even they go about their daily lives if they can. It's one of those things that you just kind of like learn to live with. And the shorthand, what I'm saying is that it's not like you have to explain to the public what's going on. They totally get it.
And are you offended by the sort of way that the hardline hawkish AIPAC type of Jew who doesn't live there and doesn't deal with what it's like to live there, and they're so full on right wing about the use of force?
Well, yes.
And the New York Post take on it.
Absolutely.
And the New York Post take Hezbollah, U.S. is next.
Absolutely. I think that they're very short sighted, because, you know, people like that, in my opinion, are just going to make the situation so much worse, because there are civilians, you know, involved here. And when you actually sit in a room in Washington and analyze the situation and watch Anderson Cooper running around on CNN, You can sit there and theorize all you want. But I got to tell you, everybody I talk to, and I have, a large family and a huge group of friends that are there, they're like, they will keep repeating the same line. All we want is to send our kids to school, have a lot of sex, eat a lot, go to bed, have fun. That's all we want.
Find a dollar for every time Sam said that. And he's not even from Israel.
No. But isn't it what everybody else wants in this world? Just to wake up in the morning?
Of course it is. But the Republican way in this country is to make an us and them where there isn't similarities. And that's what the New York Post has been doing with John Podhoretz's ridiculous heads to U.S. You're next, that type of thing?
The New York Post is...
And Fox News.
Disgusting.
Same scourge.
As far as I'm concerned.
They don't want you to see people as the same, though. They don't want you to see that most people just want to live in a meaningful way and take care of their children and have sex and eat food. All of this kind of stuff. They want you to think that the Palestinians are the other in a very strange way, that the Americans in Lebanon are the other. You know, Rush Limbaugh, we were talking earlier in the morning.
Say something really funny.
Yes.
I have a... It's not funny, but, you know, I do my rounds of calls, you know, every day to check in with everybody. And the other day, my best friend since we were, you know, five, her husband picked up the phone. And I'm like, he's kind of a platoon commander, you know, and he's in the reserve. And I'm like, well, are you ready? Are you nervous? He goes, I'm ready to go, man. I'm here. I got my thing. I'm ready to go. And I'm like, and this guy is, you know, he's a developer. He builds houses. And most of his workers are Arab. And in fact, during the Intifada, when those guys could not cross the border, he kept paying their salaries so they can keep supporting their families because they're family to him. So his perspective is really interesting to me because he's a military guy in reserve, you know what I mean? And at the same time, he, you know, has this huge compassion to people in general in terms of like whether they're Palestinian, Arabs, Jews, whoever lives in this country. And what he was saying to me, I was like, so explain to me, why would the Hezbollah go do all this stuff? And in the meantime, the Saudis, basically most of the Sunni Muslims in the Arab world, let's face it. I mean, it's like the Egypt and Jordan and the Palestinians, even the Palestinians and the Saudis and the Emirates all condemned what Hezbollah was doing. And he said, you know, but it seems like to me that there is the Arab school of thought, which is what they call the moderate Arab, which is, we just want to have a good life. The Saudis are kind of freaked out that they lost all this money in Lebanon because there was a lot of investment that went in there. And then there's these Arabs, which is what the Israelis call the dark, they call them the, it's like an equivalent of a dark hole, which they... think in the way that is all about killing and destruction, a la the Osama bin Laden type thing. And they're baffled in terms of how do you reconcile that? How do you, there's these people that want to have peace with us. We know that. We talk to them. We've been talking to them all these years. We've made peace with two of these countries. And how do you reconcile that? And this is when they look for the politicians to try to understand the gap, to try to understand the culture, to try to bridge the South. It's not even about Condi Rice, who is like complete, I don't know what she's doing over there. But it's not about that. It's about how do you connect Assad in Syria with the Saudi king and how the two of them can actually reconcile this Islamic discrepancy or this discrepancy in the interpretation of their religion. And in a sense, everybody that kind of is caught up in it is kind of somewhat caught in some sort of a crossfire, essentially. Because the philosophies are different. Because if all Arabs wanted Israel killed, I mean, God knows. I mean, they're all over. They're all around this country, and they would have destroyed Israel eventually.
All right, we've got to take a break. We'll be right back. We're talking to Limor Sivan, Israeli peace activist and movie producer. Sam Cedar, Janine Garofalo on The Majority Report.
The Majority Report.
Are you ready to sit down and listen?
Janine Garofalo and Sam Cedar.
Sit down. Sit down and hear.
Only on Air America Radio.
Can you hear now?
It's the Randy Rhoads Show.
It's the best bike vacation ever. 3 days of cycling in the Sierra foothills, camping under the stars, catered gourmet meals, entertainment, and in-camp activities. It's the 20th annual Emigrant Trails Bike Trek, Friday, September 8th through Sunday, September 10th. This excellent adventure attracts over 400 bicycle riders and helps support Breathe California Sacramento's efforts to improve air quality in our area and to work to eliminate lung disease. Make your plans now and start raising much-needed funds by registering today at sacbreathe.org or by calling 916-444-5900. You can ride as an individual or put together a team of co-workers or friends. Travel at your own pace through stunning scenery, then relax in a camp with massage, yoga, or a beverage from the cantina. Free training rides prepare you for the best bike vacation ever. The 20th Annual Emigrant Trails Bike Trek, September 8th through September 10th. 3 days of cycling, camping, and fun. Go to sacbreathe.org or call 916-444-5900 and sign up today.
If you send mixed messages.
Of course we're after Saddam Hussein. I mean, bin Laden. He's let me say, I certainly hope so.
If you send mixed messages.
That's a loaded question. First of all, I admire Senator Kerry's service to our country.
If you send mixed messages.
I admire the fact that he is a great dad. We're facing
If you send mixed messages.
Let me finish. And so the answer to your question is, no doubt about it, it's tough. Hard work.
I'll always consider myself the father of four boys, even though two of my sons are gone. Our twins, Kevin and Brian, died when their boat capsized. Bad weather, cold water, and the absence of life jackets contributed to their deaths. If I can help one person avoid the daily heartbreak that my wife and family must endure, then asking you to be responsible on your boat will be well worth my time. Visit BoatSmarter.com. And remember, if it's your boat, it's your responsibility.
The Internet. It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the Internet consumer bill of rights. Because he got tangled up with all these things that are going on the Internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal Internet, that is you and me.
You and me is a problem.
Tubes. The Internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Sam Cedar and Janine Garofalo on the Majority Report, Air America Radio.
Oh, hello. We're back. I'm Janine Garofalo here with Sam Cedar, an Israeli peace activist and movie producer, Limor Savan, whose family is in Tel Aviv right now, and your brother's a tank commander.
Yes.
And so what is his role right now as a tank commander? Is he waiting to be called up for something?
He's waiting to be called up. And as of tonight, he isn't, but it looks pretty, you know, pretty much a reality that they will call him.
What is your perspective on the reports that we're seeing that there's about to be a major ground offensive?
Well, I'm wouldn't be surprised. I think it's. I think that also militarily, they cannot have a ground offensive until the Air Force has done what they had to do. When the Air Force is done destroying whatever they need to destroy over there, then the ground offensive can start. And I think there's no other way other than getting in there.
No other way to get rid of Hezbollah? I mean, do you really think, I mean, is Hezbollah going to wait for them to come into southern Lebanon, or are they simply going to drop back into other parts of Lebanon? Or
no
do you
way.
Think that you think they're going to stay and fight?
Oh, yeah.
So you
yeah.
think this is going to be a sort of a clearly drawn battle line style fight? Now,
sure.
Why would Hezbollah do that?
Because you have to understand that Hezbollah sees itself as a resistant movement.
No, but I'm just asking from a tactical standpoint. I mean, it seems to me that why wouldn't they just melt back into the countryside?
Why would they? I mean, that's not what they're about. I mean, they prepared for this for years. I mean, clearly. I mean, there's, like, the weaponry's there, the strategy's there. The Israelis can't find them, you know, really. I mean, they're finding some of them, but it's all very, very, very much planned. And I think, in my opinion, it started with Iran all the way. That's like a way to fight Israel by the Iranians. It's there's no way they're going to back up.
And how far do you think the Israelis will go? Do you think they'll go all the way to Beirut?
As far as they can go until they're stopped by diplomatic efforts. I think they'll go as far as Beirut if they have to.
And do you think that there would be an intention for a long-term occupation? Or do you think they would try and get out and hopefully there would be the vacuum would be filled by some type of UN peacekeeper
yes.
or something?
Yes. Yeah. I mean...
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I think Ehud Olmert, the interesting thing about Ehud Olmert as opposed to Ariel Sharon is Ehud Olmert is not a military man. He is a strategist, he's a minister, he's a politician. So he, what Sharon would have done would have been to literally manage the operation from like the command post because mm-hmm. he was a military man. Olmert runs it with the generals, but from a political standpoint, and he is, believe it or not, even though I'm not a Likudnik, he's my hope right now. And I don't think he's getting very much help from the Americans or from anybody else.
Or from
else.
Benjamin Netanyahu, who's
oh, no,
making
Netanyahu.
The rounds. I don't like him. Bibi,
not...
I'm going to smack your face if
well,
I see you,
let
Bibi
me tell
Netanyahu.
You something. Israelis don't like Bibi either.
I'm right. glad to hear it.
Lamour Savon, thank you so much.
Sure.
We'll be right back on the Majority Report. Matt Taibbi is here. And then.
It's the best bike vacation ever. 3 days of cycling in the Sierra foothills, camping under the stars, catered gourmet meals, entertainment, and in-camp activities. It's the 20th annual Emigrant Trails Bike Trek, Friday, September 8th through Sunday, September 10th. This excellent adventure attracts over 400 bicycle riders and helps support Breathe California Sacramento's efforts to improve air quality in our area and to work to eliminate lung disease. Make your plans now and start raising much-needed funds by registering today at sacbreathe.org or by calling 916-444-5900. You can ride as an individual or put together a team of co-workers or friends. Travel at your own pace through stunning scenery, then relax in a camp with massage, yoga, or a beverage from the cantina. Free training rides prepare you for the best bike vacation ever. The 20th Annual Immigrant Trails Bike Trek, September 8th through September 10th. 3 days of cycling, camping, and fun. Go to sacbreathe.org or call 916-444-5900 and sign up today.
So hot today, ladies and gentlemen, George W. Bush told Al Roker to stop doing that. That's what he said. That's what President Bush said at the G8 summit. He was overheard using a dirty language at the G8 summit. And not only that, later he was ejected for headbutting.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
I will travel to Israel and the Palestinian territories.
Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice leaves for the Middle East on Sunday, but she will not be looking for a quick fix. A ceasefire, she said, would be a false promise if it simply returns us to the status quo. Rice says they have to address the root causes of the violence. CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv has more from Tel Aviv.
Everything Rice said was exactly what Israel wanted to hear. No point of a ceasefire without lasting steps against terrorism. And Israel's top general, Dan Halutz, said the Secretary of State will be welcome when she comes to Israel early next week, but he added she doesn't have the right to stop the Israeli army. That's up to the Israeli government. There's almost universal support here for keeping on with the push against Hezbollah, but not a massive invasion.
I'm Robert Berger on the Israel-Lebanon border. Plumes of smoke are rising on a hill inside Lebanon. I can see the Israeli shells hitting there. About 10 Israeli tanks are here on the border awaiting orders to move into Lebanon. Israeli military officials say they're planning to step up ground operations in Lebanon.
But they indicate it will not be an all-out assault. One step forward, two steps back for utility workers in the St. Louis area.
We currently have about 570,000 customers in Missouri and Illinois without service.
Tom Fox of Amerant Power says they lost ground today when another storm system moved through. 200,000 customers were knocked out.
The good news is that we have more than 2,700 folks on the ground working, contractors and employees on the ground working right now. These folks come from seven states around the area.
And the National Guard has arrived in St. Louis to help people stuck in homes without air conditioning. Four U.S. soldiers charged with murdering three Iraqi civilians in May claim they were following orders. In sworn statements obtained by the Associated Press, the soldiers claim they'd been ordered to kill all military-age males. A lawyer for one of the soldiers accused of raping an Iraqi teenager, then killing the victim and her family, says that when the men were interrogated, they were numb from the effects of combat, and their answers may have been suggested by interrogators. Actor Jack Warden has died. Over a career that started after World War II, he appeared in dozens of films, including The Verdict with Paul Newman.
What are you, nuts?
I can win this case.
What are you going to do?
I need your help.
To do what?
They killed her. I'm trying to buy it.
And Warden was in countless TV shows. Here's a clip from Bewitched with Elizabeth Montgomery as the suburban witch.
Why don't we sit down?
I'll freshen your drink for you.
Well, I don't drink anymore. I don't drink any less, but I don't drink anymore.
She turned him into a dog. Jack Warden was 85. On Wall Street today, the Dow lost 59 points to finish the week at 10,868. This is CBS News.
How long will I be in chemotherapy?
What should I ask my doctor?
What are the side effects?
Will I lose my hair?
When will I start to feel better?
What about alternate therapies?
Who can I turn to for help?
If you're facing chemotherapy, it's easy to feel overwhelmed. But now it's easier to find answers in one place. Chemotherapy.com. From different types of treatment to side effects, to the right questions to ask along the way. The answers are at your fingertips at www.chemotherapy.com. Your complete chemotherapy guide.
Found a great summer hotel deal.
Let me guess, your parents' house.
No, Priceline has the top 50 vacation spots up to 50% off.
Places we actually want to go?
Soho, New York.
Yeah.
The Strip in Vegas.
Ooh.
Waikiki, Hawaii.
Up to 50% off?
When you name your own price. Check out all 50 spots on Priceline.
I'm guessing your parents' house didn't make the list.
The 50-50 hotel savings event, only on Priceline. More ways to save. Exact hotel shown only after purchase.
High oil prices have raised the cost of all sorts of goods, and now it looks like the weather is going to make things more expensive. CBS News correspondent Peter King has the story.
He's usually the voice of optimism.
Boston place good. Very good.
But this perfect financial storm could make even Tony the Tiger cringe. The Financial Times reports a combination of sizzling summer heat, lower grain supplies, and the worst American wheat crop in 18 years may mean higher prices for cereal, bread, pasta. Even beer. The Agriculture Department says wheat prices are at a 10-year high. Corn and barley prices, they're headed there. Peter King, CBS News.
Ranchers in New Zealand have a new weapon against cattle rustlers, DNA technology. Instead of branding to prove ownership, they're using specially designed kits that take tissue samples of their livestock. Those samples can be stored and used later for comparison with meat that's suspected of coming from stolen cows. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Plantar fasciitis?
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Air America Radio, streaming at Air America Radio. My name is Sam Cedar, here with Janine Garofalo in her last hour.
Moving, and Josh Horton's last hour.
And Josh Horton's last hour. Janine moving from co-host duties to emeritus co-host duties. Josh Horton moving from producer of the Majority Report to doing my lawn. I hope you got your mower tuned up,
lawn
Josh.
Lawnmower man.
In studio, we still have Lamour Savant, and we also have our pleasure to welcome Matt Taibbi, the contributing editor and political correspondent for Rolling Stone magazine. Welcome, Matt.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
I'm very honored to be you know, the last guest on.
Well, it's the least we can do for some of that great writing.
Well, the show's not ending.
I mean, the show's going to still be here with
Sam.
Well,
you know, if Janine's gone, it might as well end. You know,
that's what I said. Ow. That is the longest sound effect of very little payoff.
The payoff is so disappointing.
That's
part of the joke.
Somebody smacked you with a folder is what that sounds.
That's part of the joke.
Exactly.
Oh.
All right. Well, let's, before Matt, and feel free to weigh on this, because I know you're working on a piece right now, or you're about to finish a piece on Lieberman, and it would be a nice segue, since we're talking about how Jews don't seem to care about terrorism, the liberal ones.
According to Bill O'Reilly.
Except for the ones in Israel who seem to...
I missed this. I'm sorry. Jews don't care about terrorism.
Bill O'Reilly said that liberal Jews want the terrorists to win. They don't care about terrorism, and also they want to make George Bush look bad.
Mm. Okay.
You didn't know that?
No, I didn't hear that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Matt agrees. So, we also know Joe Lieberman thinks that most of the reason why people are why Ned Lamont is doing so well in Connecticut is because of course, blatant anti-Semitism. And
well, that and also his supporters are communists or terrorists. I mean,
I didn't know that.
Well, if you notice, the DLC put out this editorial.
You know what? I got to tell you something.
Well, let him finish.
I haven't noticed a single thing the DLC has done in probably 9 or 10 months. Are they still around?
Yeah, they still exist, believe it or not. Yeah, they have an office in Washington.
This is the Democratic Lieberman Council, correct?
Right, exactly. But they put out an editorial about a month and a half ago called The Return of Liberal Fundamentalism. And it was all about how the supporters of Lamont were these crazy left-wingers on the Internet, like the Daily Kos people and all that. And they kept using words that were kind of Stalin-themed words, like purge. They used the word purge 8 times.
Purge was so much the talking points they've been throwing out.
Yeah. So yep. And then a few weeks later, that exact same editorial appeared in like every major newspaper in the country, including David Brooks here
in
New York did it. So.
Now, let me ask you this. Who wrote that? Was it Marshall Whitman, the former guy?
It was Ed Kilgore.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
All right. Well, first off, here is the question I want to know if it was addressed in the Democratic Lieberman Council editorial. Did they figure out how these liberal Stalinist bloggers were able to infiltrate the polls in Connecticut? Or are they positing that every blogger really secretly lives in Connecticut?
I don't know. They didn't address that specifically.
Uh-huh.
But I think they were saying that there was an intimidation factor going on here, that people were actually afraid to oppose the net.
So let me get this straight. They're saying the guy who works at Electric Boat,
right,
or the guy who's a teacher in Bridgeport, or the guy who works in at Mohegan Sun, they're terrified that if they tell the pollster that...
Marcos Melitzis is going to have an axe to grind, and you do not want Marcos Melitzis mad at you, believe me.
If they tell the pollster that they're in favor of Liebman, that Marcos is going to track him down and jump up, I guess. Because Marcos
Bill Scher?
Sort of
let me tell you something. You get on the wrong side of Bill Scher, and it's not pretty. That guy, he loves to fight.
It's fascinating, is it? Tell us your perspective on what is so wrong with these people, because there is something severely wrong here. I mean, they are in a hermetic bubble that is preventing them from getting any type of, I don't know, outside oxygen.
Well, I mean, they have a very difficult rhetorical task. I mean, they're selling a really unpopular line of goods, you know, to their own supporters. They're paid by a bunch of corporations to try to get people like Joe Lieberman elected by voters who don't like people like that. So they have to resort to tactics like this, and they've done it over and over again. I mean, the reason I was interested in this story is because I saw exactly the same thing happen to Howard Dean back when I was covering the 2004 election. The DLC puts out an editorial with all these talking points, angry, prickly, all that other stuff, and then, you know, literally a week and a half later, it's in every single newspaper in the country. You know, every editorialist is
and they
doing...
know. And Sam, it's not that they aren't getting air and they're in a vacuum. They know very well. It's as Matt says, they're selling a product nobody wants. It's
right.
like say mayonnaise was rotten
right.
on all the shelves, but you had so much of it, but you had to put on the label, "This is the greatest mayonnaise you've ever tasted."
Jimmy, right. Turn your mic.
Yeah, that's. Sorry.
You'll get this thing
done. Wow, that was a rookie mistake in your show.
I am so green behind the ears.
You'll get this done before you retire.
Okay. But my point being is, Sam, they do know exactly that they're selling a bad product.
Well, but here's the interesting thing, is that I think they really, they're selling a bad product, but they didn't realize that they had to. I mean, that's also one of the reasons why it's gotten to this point, is that they're so out of touch that they didn't even realize that there was a fire brewing here that they had to squelch. And at one point it got too big. Because had they done this 6 months ago, maybe, it would have been a different story.
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely. But it completely caught them by surprise that this was even going to be an issue. You know, I actually called the DLC to complain about their editorial. I just wanted to know, you know, what they were thinking. And I talked to... Will Marshall, you know that guy.
I know Will Marshall, but let me just ask you this: when you call the DLC, do they answer the phone? The New Republic.
I think that's another extension. You have to.
Okay, but so you talk to Will Marshall. Now, Will Marshall is the guy who Ralph Reed.
Right. No, that's Marshall Whitman.
Marshall Whitman.
But they all kind of.
There's really no difference.
Yeah, there's no difference.
Okay.
This is the guy who thinks he's Teddy Roosevelt, Will Marshall. He has this bull moose. Or is that Marshall Whitman? I can't remember.
They're all the same. They are really interchangeable. I think they, in fact, changed their names, so they would be confusing that way.
Right, right. But he was, you know, I think when I talked to him, he was genuinely under the impression that, like, the vast majority of people in the Democratic Party were really in favor of Joe Lieberman, and that's this tiny minority of Trotskyite, you know, radicals.
This is the other thing. It's not just a question of them selling a bad product, because they don't even know, even if they were selling a bad product, Joe Lieberman, they're not selling it to the right people.
Right.
I mean, they're pushing back against the Internet. But the Internet, and Matt Stoller put this great on some NPR interview I heard him. He said, what these people don't realize is that the blogs aren't leading this charge. The blogs are responding to it. And it's just that these people in Washington are so out of touch that they never know this stuff is going on, and that the blogs are actually letting them in on something. So they're attacking the messenger, and they don't believe the truth of the message. And that's why they're in such deep doo-doo with this.
Right. Right, yeah, no, that's
I can't believe you just said doo-doo on this air. Have you learned nothing from our FCC violation fines? Matt, I'm sorry. Lamar, I'm sorry you had to hear that.
Yeah, no.
You're like George Bush over here, you potty mouth.
I came all this way just to be insulted this way. It's just.
I know. I'm sorry, Matt. From now on, I'll ask the questions. Right. Now, for the thing is with Joe Lieberman that I find, now, and Sam had brought this up, Bill Clinton stumping for Joe Lieberman.
Yeah, I don't understand
that. And someone claiming that if his father had loved him more, his stepfather had shown him more
Steve
love.
Steve Gillard on Newsblog said if his father wasn't an alcoholic, he would have never felt the necessity of kissing up to someone who has been horrible to him.
Right. So it's just one of those things, again, that sort of, DLC stuff. But why do you think Bill Clinton would do this?
Well, I guess that the only theory I saw that makes any sense is that, you know, that if Lieberman loses this election, that portends badly for Hillary Clinton because she had the same position on the war that Lieberman did.
Yeah, and but Hillary Clinton's got a lot more going for her than Wowsy Wowsy Woo Woo.
I guess so, but you know.
But she's also backed off the war now. I mean, in a way that Lieberman hasn't.
She's busy with her flag burning amendment.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but you know, but she is sort of identified with that vote and that whole national security Democrats, group that she tried to put together.
Yeah, but she can distance herself. She doesn't go on Hannity's show once a month and things like that.
But yeah, that's true.
But let me ask you
other
this,
than
too.
That, I have no explanation.
Do you think Bill Clinton actually thinks at this point that there's any chance Joe Lieberman's going to win the Democratic primary? I don't. I don't think there is any serious student of politics, and Bill Clinton obviously is probably one of the greatest, who believes that there is any chance whatsoever that Joe Lieberman is going to win the Democratic primary.
Well, in that case, it makes perfect sense because he's just playing smart politics. He gets to show that he's being loyal to his old Democratic Party buddy, but he knows he's going to lose anyway, and so
I think that's the explanation right there.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right, we got to take a break. We're here with Matt Taibbi. We're here with Lamour Savon. We're here with Janine Garofalo in the last 40...
I'm in the last throes of this, which if Dick Cheney had said it, means I'm going to be here for a long time.
That's right. We'll be right back in the Majority Report.
The Majority Report on Air America Radio, where free thinkers think freely.
A liberal dose of the truth.
It's the best bike vacation ever. 3 days of cycling in the Sierra foothills, camping under the stars, catered gourmet meals, entertainment, and in-camp activities. It's the 20th annual Emigrant Trails Bike Trek, Friday, September 8th through Sunday, September 10th. This excellent adventure attracts over 400 bicycle riders and helps support Breathe California Sacramento's efforts to improve air quality in our area and to work to eliminate lung disease. Make your plans now and start raising much-needed funds by registering today at sacbreathe.org or by calling 916-444-5900. You can ride as an individual or put together a team of co-workers or friends. Travel at your own pace through stunning scenery, then relax in a camp with massage, yoga, or a beverage from the cantina. Free training rides prepare you for the best bike vacation ever. The 20th Annual Emigrant Trails Bike Trek, September 8th through September 10th. 3 days of cycling, camping, and fun. Go to sacbreathe.org or call 916-444-5900 and sign up today.
Base are faith people because Bush works in mysterious ways. It helps to have faith. It really does. But religion, it stops people from thinking because they think all the answers are in that one book. It impedes progress. It justifies crazy people. Flying planes into a building was a faith-based initiative. Matters of otherwise common sense become points of debate. Like gay marriage, would we even be having this discussion about whether gay people can marry except for religion? Of course the Catholic Church doesn't want gay men to marry. Half the priesthood would walk out the door the first day and marry the UPS driver.
Hey, you streaming listeners, open your media player and click on the link to nohagglemortgage.com right now, and you can save thousands on your mortgage loan. Simple, easy, and takes less than 30 seconds. For the first time, homeowners can now have direct access to the same rates that mortgage brokers get. That's right, the same rates that mortgage brokers get. Three things allow nohagglemortgage.com to get the lowest mortgage rates in the industry. One, no commissions to pay loan officers. Two, most of the work is done over the internet, saving you a lot of money. 3, no haggling. Click on the link now, then click on Quick Quote to find out what rate you can get. Get your money faster and save thousands. No gimmicks, no middleman, no haggling. Just simple, fast, friendly, low-rate mortgage loans. Skip the loan officer. Go direct to nohagglemortgage.com. You're already online. Take 30 seconds and find out for yourself. Or go to nohagglemortgage.com. Check it out today. Licensed by the DOC.
Majority Report, Air America Radio.
We're back! Sam Cedar, Janine Garofalo, Matt Taibbi, Lamour Savon.
Now, it's strange. Matt Taibbi just told me he got back from Iraq. Is there still any type of fighting going on there? I thought that all ended.
No, Joe Lieberman said it's different.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's better. It's different, but the better, right? Is that made. Right?
Yeah, so wait, you just got back from Iraq. How long?
About a month ago I got back.
So things must be going great there.
Yeah, it's bad. It was even, I mean, I was there for about 5.5-6 weeks, and it got noticeably worse even while I was there.
Apparently the last month has been absolutely horrendous. I mean, yeah. There's over 1,000 Iraqi civilians have died over the course of that month.
Yeah, I wouldn't know about that. Because
your latest piece in Rolling Stone, the one with Johnny Depp on the cover, is about your time in Iraq. Is that correct?
Right.
And so
right.
What? For those who haven't read the article yet, what is the general thread of the piece?
I followed a couple of different units around. I was embedded, so as a lot of reporters will find when they go to Iraq, it's a pretty difficult story to cover when you're embedded because you don't really see anything except the American military, and unfortunately you do get kind of attached to the guys in the unit, and it definitely messes with your mind when you come back and you want to write the story up. So I was with a group of guys who traveled around the country in a security detail who had never been hit before, and just as I was leaving, they got hit, and so that was sort of, I was just sort of doing a, you know, all that, what's the Steven Spielberg miniseries, the
Band of Brothers.
All the Band of Brothers stuff, well, yeah, it was all of that, so, but I also got into Abu Ghraib. I spent 3 days as a sort of a prisoner in Abu Ghraib in a very weird, surreal incident. I met this guy while I was in Iraq, who was an interrogator for the army, and he snuck me into the prison and threw me into a cell there so that he wouldn't get in trouble, so that no one would find me. And he kept bringing me; he would bring me food twice a day, and then you know, once a day, he would sneak me out of the cell and take me on these surreptitious tours of the facility. It was a very, very strange experience.
So you spent the night in the...
I spent 3 nights in Abu Ghraib. Yeah, I was in a wing of the prison that used to be a political prison, and I was the area was completely empty, so I was like the only person in there. And it was a very weird experience. Very funny.
Can you elaborate on that?
Very funny.
I mean, obviously, it's not nearly enough. Can you elaborate in any way on what it's like to be there for 3 days and nights?
Well, the thing is, Abu Ghraib is closing now, so I was sort of in the last days of Abu Ghraib. They have this area of the prison that they call the hard site where there's still prisoners there, and I actually at one point I even got in there, and I was in a place where there were a bunch of guys with yellow jumpsuits actually mopping the floor for some reason, but I saw a helicopter come in with a bunch of terror suspects, you know, come get in off the helicopter, and they were, you know, led in lockstep into the hard site, and then all their personal belongings were dragged in after them, so the army's carrying their computers and all their stuff behind them, and they throw them in, and apparently about 10 or 11 of those helicopters come in a day.
And what constitutes a terror suspect? What does it take to get on that helicopter?
I'm assuming, you know, because most of the war is just guys going back and forth to police stations, you know, from the base, right? And they these are just ordinary Joes who get shot at, and they don't have any offensive capability at all, really. They just go back and forth and they do patrols, but occasionally they will get intelligence that so and so, you know, that some kind of person who's behind the bombings is living in some place, and then they will send special forces out to get these people. And they'll, you know, cruise in by helicopter, pick them up, clear the entire house. I'm assuming just snatch everybody who's in there, and then they'll bring them to a place like Abu Ghraib or, you know, one of the other bases and process them and interrogate them, and that's what a terrorist suspect is. But it's really hard to figure out because I know there are literally hundreds of groups now in Iraq who are behind these bombings of the trucks. You know,
so it could be something like just having a laptop actually could single you out as a person who would be a person of interest.
Yeah, or it could be even less than that. It could be somebody who was interrogated by somebody in the army might have mentioned somebody's name, and mm-hmm. you know, so they'll go and get that person. But you know, it's the blind leading the blind.
So no lessons have been learned from any of the horrible findings about the torture and the photos that were released. They're still sort of business as usual. These interrogations?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they were the guys who I was with were very careful not to disclose to me that you know, of any, you know, irregularities that might be going on with the you know, with the interrogating. But they did say that their interpretation of the Geneva Convention was while you're beating his ass, don't take his picture. So that was one quote.
That's not encouraging.
And yeah. I don't know if do they laugh?
Yeah, they do laugh. Yeah.
I mean, I can understand that it's different there, so I'm not one of those people that's like, I can't believe they left, because, you know, they live in a world I could never understand. Yeah, but yeah. What I'm saying is that that's what I mean by business as usual now. That's the humor, that's the context, that's the lifestyle.
Again, you have to understand what these guys go through.
That's what I'm saying. I don't, yeah. So I'm not going to be one of those people that says, I can't believe they left.
Right.
But my question, I guess, what I meant and I didn't articulate is it business as usual to, A, continue the way it was going with interrogation, B, to have a black sense of humor about it, like a Faustian sense of humor?
Yeah, I think it's yes on both counts because, you know, these guys, they you know, every time you get into a truck in that country and you have to drive from one place to another, you're risking getting blown up, and it happens all the time. I mean, you hear these explosions every single day. When you're living in the base, no matter where it is, you hear it, you know, every morning. And,
all right.
And it gets very frustrating for these guys.
Matt Taibbi, contributing editor, political correspondent for Rolling Stone magazine. Thank you very much for
joining us
on Janine Garofalo's Last Night.
Josh Horton's Last Night, too.
And Josh Horton's. We'll come back. We'll talk to Josh Horton.
The Majority Report on Air America Radio. You're listening to AM 1320.
It's the best bike vacation ever. 3 days of cycling in the Sierra foothills, camping under the stars, catered gourmet meals, entertainment, and in-camp activities. It's the 20th annual Emigrant Trails Bike Trek, Friday, September 8th through Sunday, September 10th. This excellent adventure attracts over 400 bicycle riders and helps support Breathe California Sacramento's efforts to improve air quality in our area and to work to eliminate lung disease. Make your plans now and start raising much-needed funds by registering today at sacbreathe.org or by calling 916-444-5900. You can ride as an individual or put together a team of co-workers or friends. Travel at your own pace through stunning scenery, then relax in a camp with massage, yoga, or a beverage from the cantina. Free training rides prepare you for the best bike vacation ever. The 20th Annual Immigrant Trails Bike Trek, September 8th through September 10th. 3 days of cycling, camping, and fun. Go to sacbreathe.org or call 916-444-5900 and sign up today.
So come see what Match.com can do for you. Match.com, the number one site for love.
Okay, Rick, we'll make this pretty...
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sam.
To understand it.
Mitt Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead.
See how easy it was? It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You got all, you think you get all the answers to the, all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
I was in the water before I knew what happened. I reached up to stop an or two from going overboard. The next thing I knew, I was overboard too. Watching my boat, there was nothing I could do to avoid being hit. The first time, the propeller cut through my back. The second time, it cut my hand and arm. A moment of operator inattention, a lifetime of can't forget. Because I survived, I can tell you how important it is to be responsible on your boat. Visit BoatSmarter.com and remember, if it's your boat, it's your responsibility.
The fact that somebody like Rush Limbaugh, who has made a career preaching that anybody who does drugs has got to go right to jail, do not pass go, no questions asked, right to jail, gets caught doing 30 OxyContin a day. 30 OxyContin? Do you have any idea how high that is? I don't, and I've been pretty high. But, wow, this guy is putting up Elvis numbers, ladies and gentlemen. But how does he get away with it? They say, well, he's on medication. Oh, see, that's not drugs. You know what, pal? We all got our medication, don't we? They can have an ad on TV that said, ask your doctor if Jack Daniels is right for you. And it would not be out of place thematically.
Cedar and Janine Garofalo on the Majority Report, Air America Radio.
Hey, y'all. I'm here with Josh Orton, our producer. This is last night, and he's going to work for Catherine Harris.
$10 million.
Who?
$10 million.
It's everything I have. I'm putting it on my widow's mite, my pearl. Also, Matt Taibbi, political correspondent for Rolling Stone, is here, and Israeli peace activist Lamour Savon is here. And Sam Cedar is here, and Justin's here, and Josh and I, we're in the last throes of our radio stint here, which means we'll be here for years to come.
Yeah.
While building a huge embassy, the likes of which the Middle East has never seen. And
we have a phone call. Let's go to...
I wonder who it is.
Line 10, who could this be?
Hello.
Hello, this is Ferris Wheeler. Along with Mary Ground, my co-chapter president of the Syracuse Seniors chapter of the Janine Garofalo Fan Club, and we are a wreck here in upstate New York.
Ferris, and thank you so much for all the lovely bracelets you sent.
Well, more are on the way, and I just wanted to touch base on a couple of the groundbreaking, not since Wolfman Jack or Murray the K, has there been such a force in broadcasting as you've been, Janine.
And without the payola.
Well, honest to God, you're straightforward, honest, inspired. When you say at the end of your broadcast, now go do the right thing,
in Syracuse, and I know across this great country of ours, are moved beyond movements to go out and do the right thing. And thank you for those beautiful words.
You're welcome. But actually, I usually sign off with the word peaches.
Well, we remember that too. But it's when you're in a spirited mood and you say Garofalo out.
Right.
The kids.
Yeah.
Have begun to say Garofalo out.
Right, and so like sometimes what I've been saying lately is I'm not feeling that, or that, or you just got served.
Groundbreaking original broadcasting, and the fact that you're so generous with your co-host, who all of us know is an amateur and really wasn't up to the task of national broadcasting standard. When you look at him, or when you refer to him as Baba Booey, and you're making your prank phone calls. We in America love that aspect of your personality and your creative humor.
Thank you.
And we'll always remember Sam as Baba Booey.
I'm sorry, I've never been referred to as Baba Booey.
Wait a minute, I might have the wrong notes here. Is this... This isn't KDKA in Philadelphia, is it?
No, this is WLIB in New York, the flagship station of Air America Radio.
Oh, this is Air America Radio.
Yes.
Oh, I've made an awful mistake. My stomach is turning.
It's okay. It's okay, just as long as you... I mean, it was nice of you to call, and...
Well, could you, for just for the sake of my particular fan club, give us that classic greeting, good evening, Mr. and Mrs. North America and all the ships at sea. This is Janine.
Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America. Oh, North America. Sorry. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. North America and all the ships at sea. This is Janine Garofalo.
That's okay. We can fix it in post.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and out myself. This isn't Ferris Wheeler of the Syracuse chapter of the Janine Garofalo fan club. This is David Waterman.
Dave Earl Waterman, star of Pilot Season, directed by Sam Cedar.
And many other very hardly seen television and film projects throughout the greater...
Don't forget your mother-in-law. You were in that.
I was in that.
And then you were in Sabado.
Well, those are all fake shows. Those are not real shows. Those are fake shows.
But on Pilot Season, it's...
It all makes sense to the 27th.
All right, Earl, let's wrap this up, okay? Just goodbye to Janine. Let's do it, because we got other people on the phone, buddy. You're not the only person calling in.
People are on the phone. Thanks for letting me play with you at your apartment the other night. And going on the radio has been a gas. Good luck to you, Janine. When you're in L.A., seriously, you don't need to be lonely. I have a small one-bedroom apartment in Hollywood that always has a can of spaghetti waiting for you.
I will look forward to it. I'll be in L.A. very soon.
Call me, baby.
I will.
Good luck to you. Your career's over. All right.
Thank you. Bye, Earl.
We got another caller. Line 11. Welcome to the program. From Georgia?
I'm still sitting here with that call me baby. Hey, Janine.
Yeah.
Next time you're in Atlanta, call me baby.
Mike Malloy. I could tell your voice.
No, you couldn't.
I could. You sound like Mike Malloy.
Are you leaving?
I am leaving Air America, but I, you know, when they put the Satellite Sisters on, I was like, that's it! Oh, look at that cute.
Yeah, aren't they?
That's Molly.
Molly Malloy is so cute. We're looking at a picture of her.
Oh, you just got a picture of Molly?
Yep.
Remember when you saw, the last time you saw her, she's a little bald-headed thing?
In denim. All of the denim. And now she's running on the beach with long, curly hair.
Yeah, there she is. She looks like Goldilocks. Air America took me off, of course, in New York right after I won the Best Talk Show in New York Award.
sounds like Air America to me.
Classic. That is classic.
Well, sure. This is what radio executives do.
Exactly.
You know, you win something and they go, oh, he just got named the best talk show in New York. Let's take him off and put on these dorky ass Satellite Sisters.
I know. It's like it is worse than watching The View.
Well, Mike, you got to, you know, I think you're looking at this the wrong way. You've got to think of this as a challenge.
Oh.
How are you going to repeat as the best talker in New York when you're preempted?
That's true, but enough about me. Enough about me. Janine, you're leaving.
I am, but I'm going to be back subbing for Sam whenever he needs me to. So
she's co-host emeritus.
Oh, so this is not like a final divorce. This is just maybe a separation? Or...
No,
it's a divorce.
This is a divorce. Sam and I have, our friendship was in danger of of splitting in twain? Or is that three? Twain, two.
Yeah, well, Kathy and I feel that every night.
Right, but you stuck it out. But, you know, you have to. You're married. Sam and I are not married.
Well, yeah.
So
yeah.
We didn't have to. So what we did is we decided this is the best thing to save our friendship, and Sam gets to keep the house because he's a better broadcaster than
me. There you go. Well, everybody says that behind your back, so I guess.
What, that Sam's a better broadcaster?
No.
Oh, I was going to say, they don't have to say it behind my back. I say it all the time to myself.
Well, not me. I've never said that. I've always said, you leave Sam in the dust.
Oh, you old. Is that why you sent me the bumper sticker saying that?
There you go. Well, I'm going to listen. Let me just say this, because I know you probably have 1,000 more people on hold that want to say goodbye. But every night when I'm finishing up the last little bit of the show here in this godforsaken studio in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains, I log on, and because we can't hear you in Atlanta via the radio anymore.
Well, that's tit for tat.
Yeah, that's right. So I log on and I listen to you guys while I'm finishing up the last thing I have to do, and it just always puts me in the mood to go home. But seriously.
Oh, that's what we want. We want to send people, because the family is the bedrock of any community.
But I stay and do it anyway. I'm going to miss knowing that I work for the same company as you, Janine. I really am.
Well, thank you, and I am a huge fan of yours, and I apologize wholeheartedly for the Satellite Sisters. I wish I had something to do with it. And every cab driver in New York feels our pain.
I know.
Because they are not enjoying the Satellite Sisters either.
I know. Half the cab drivers in New York couldn't understand me because I don't speak the language, but they knew I was saying something different from what the Satellite
Cab drivers said. Love Air America in this city. Every time you get in a cab, Air America's on. They love Sam Cedar. They do not love the Satellite Sisters. They love Mike Malloy.
I know. Hey, listen, good luck. Best of luck. And I'll see you on the silver screen. Next time you get a movie coming out, for God's sake, can I have just a couple free tickets?
Sure. I don't have many movies coming out.
You know, I work for Air America, so any freebies I can get, you know, I would appreciate. All right?
You got it.
All right.
So, folks,
bye,
thanks for calling, Mike.
All right, Sam. I love you too, Sam, by the way.
I know. Okay. I appreciate it.
All right. Bye.
Turn on the computer tonight for Mike Malloy. Let's we take one more call in the line 2. Line 2. Okay, you got to turn down your radio.
Turn down your radio. Turn down your radio.
Line 2. Nobody. Nobody.
Yes, yelling.
Turn down your radio.
You got to turn off your stream, buddy.
Okay, there we go.
All right, so it's Nobody from the blog.
Hi, Nobody.
Hi, Janine.
How are you?
I'm alive, nervous. I don't do phones very well. Leave me an opening.
All right, buddy, you got 30 seconds. Let's do this.
30 seconds.
We got a cake coming in.
Hey, Josh. Take care, bud. Janine,
thanks, man.
I want to thank you for everyone on the blog. It's been a great couple of years having you around. We love you and we'll miss you very much. Personally, you become one of my heroes. Take care of yourself and come back soon, okay?
Thank you very much, and thanks for listening and being such a great supporter of this network.
Yeah.
All right, Nobody, thank you so much
thank you,
for
Nobody.
Calling in. Our blog weighs in. Our blog's been going crazy tonight.
Where's
Janine?
Fish Grease when you need him?
Well, he did that song. I don't know if you want to hear that.
Where's the cake? We can still talk while the cake's being put. This is a vanilla cake with a chocolate frosting. Mm. For all those people who love vanilla cakes with chocolate frosting.
All right, well, why don't we do this? Let's take a break so we can cut up this cake, because I have special...
Oh, it says your final peaches.
I have special dispensation to have
cake. I think I'm going to go see peaches tomorrow night, too, at Roseland.
Are you really?
I believe I am.
All right, well, stick around, folks. We're going to talk about that on the Majority Report.
We are.
Janine's last segment, and also Josh Orton's last segment, spending time producing the show by looking at technology blogs. We'll be right back on the Majority Report.
The Majority Report with Janine Garofalo and Sam Cedar, the two best-looking people in radio.
Those goofy bastards are just about the best thing I've got going.
The Majority Report on Air America Radio.
A liberal dose of the truth.
It's the best bike vacation ever.
3 days of cycling in the Sierra foothills, camping under the stars, catered gourmet meals, entertainment, and in-camp activities.
It's the 20th annual Emigrant Trails Bike Trek, Friday, September 8th through Sunday, September 10th. This excellent adventure attracts over 400 bicycle riders and helps support Breathe California Sacramento's efforts to improve air quality in our area and to work to eliminate lung disease. Make your plans now and start raising much-needed funds by registering today at sacbreathe.org or by calling 916-444-5900. You can ride as an individual or put together a team of co-workers or friends. Travel at your own pace through stunning scenery, then relax in a camp with massage, yoga, or a beverage from the cantina. Free training rides prepare you for the best bike vacation ever. The 20th Annual Emigrant Trails Bike Trek, September 8th through September 10th. 3 days of cycling, camping, and fun. Go to sacbreathe.org or call 916-444-5900 and sign up today.
Are going to continue to make life in this country very interesting for a long, long time. That's the reality. Angry men in combat fatigues talking to God on a two-way radio and muttering incoherent slogans about freedom are eventually going to provide us with a great deal of entertainment, especially after your stupid economy collapses all around you and the terrorists come out of the woodwork. You'll have anthrax in the water supply, sarin gas in your air conditioners. There'll be chemical and biological suitcase bombs in every city. And I say, enjoy it. Relax. Enjoy the show. Take a chance. Put a little fun in your life.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
You know something? There's nothing wrong with a culture where everyone has a different idea of what's humorous. The last time I can remember an entire nation being on the same page, it was Germany in the late 30s, and it didn't really turn out that funny. Remember, in its time and place, what Hitler said was considered politically correct. And it's that blind adherence to what is situationally palatable that is truly dangerous. We should question it all, poke fun at it all, sniff on it all, rail against it all, and most importantly, for Christ's sake, laugh at it all. Because the only thing separating Holy Writ from complete visual is your perspective. It's your only weapon. Keep the safety off. Don't take yourself too seriously. Remember that at the end of the day, this is just an ant farm with beepers, and it takes zero politically correct society to screw in a light bulb because they are perpetually in the dark. Of course, that's just my opinion. I could be wrong.
People that have to be really, really happy about all this news about a war is the Catholic Church. Oh, yeah, they got to be happy because they're off the front page of the paper for the first time in a long time. Woo! Woo! And I am a recovering Catholic. Some of you are here tonight. Yes? So I've been following this story. I went to 16 years of Catholic education. I'm lucky I'm alive. I went to Our Lady of Psychological Warfare. I've always felt that if women have to be in the military, they should only be lesbians. Because we would never get around to having a war. Right? Because we'd have to have some meetings. A war in October? What about the softball banquet?
Sam Cedar and Janine Garofalo on the Majority Report, Air America Radio.
We're back. Jessica, nicely done. Jessica got a delicious vegan cake from Whole Foods Market here in New York, and it's delicious.
I'm a little conflicted about the cake because, on one hand, the karma is good because it's a vegan cake. On the other hand, Whole Foods isn't unionized.
It isn't?
Here we go, yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about Josh leaving, folks, shall we?
He's going to become a union.
He's going to do work for
what did Ron Liebman do in Norma Rae? Ron Liebman went down there to the South.
Yeah.
And he was the Jew who came to organize. Remember, Ron Liebman? And you know, Sally Field goes, I thought y'all had horns.
You know, the thing is, Josh, you actually could probably become Catherine Harris's campaign manager.
Yeah, no, I hear they're actually...
$20.
What do you mean? I am becoming Catherine Harris.
I'm saying it won't take long until you get to be campaign manager.
I've never seen your mouth full of more cake.
It's delicious.
Shh, don't tell my wife.
I think it's just right, Jesse.
I think it's just right. Josh has been with us since... What now? 2 years? More than 2 years?
No, I think I started October 1st, 2004, right before...
Less than 2 years?
Less than 2 years, yeah.
All right, well, then forget it. You know.
But he's been great.
No, I have a great...
Josh has been the most senior person on the Majority Report, besides the two of us.
Really kind of disturbing.
Well, and, I mean, the show's only been on for 2.5 years, I mean, so you've been here for almost 2 years.
And Josh, financially, would you say you were well compensated for your role here?
I would say so.
It was fine. They're giving me a tremendous compensation package of $0 for me leaving.
And that's what I call a golden shower parachute.
Well, but you don't get that when you quit.
That's the old trickle-down
theory. Oh, yeah, you're right. That's true.
He wants a severance package to go. Jesus.
Package. So anyway.
Josh is one of those money grubbers.
I want to talk about Catherine Harris, yeah. Josh. Now, you know we've made great sport of Catherine Harris and her... few bricks shy of a load,
shall we say, personality type. No, we have.
Why would you go to work for her?
Well, there's something about, look, I work, you know, when I came to work for Air America, it was a fledgling radio network. Now it's a fledgling radio network. But I like to, you know, I work for underdogs. You know, I don't look at polls. I don't care about, you know, the likelihood of them succeeding. I go for principle, and that's why I came to Air America. That's why I'm going to work for Catherine Harris.
And now we're going camping.
I'll tell you why he's going to work for Catherine Harris. Two words.
$10 million.
No. Two words. Actually, two letters. T and A. That's why.
I don't know. What does that mean?
I don't really understand.
Josh is hooked in romantically with Catherine Harris.
T and A.
Yeah, T and A.
T and A. I don't
kind
know what
that club.
Is. I really don't know what that is. But you know what I heard where Josh is going? Hare Krishna, 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 Krishna Rama, Barack Obama, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulfstream waters, this land was made for you and me. Get it?
Jeez, we've run out of stuff to talk about.
No, we haven't. We can talk about Matt Taibbi's here, for Christ's sake. You never run out of things to talk about when Matt Taibbi's here.
Matt, are you regretting that you didn't decide to...
I'm regretting a lot of things right now.
Which was weirder for you, 3 nights in Abu Ghraib or right now?
Right now is getting a little surreal. I just had vegan cake.
But it was delicious.
It was. It was pretty good.
And right now, one of the cutest dogs ever is with us. This is... What's
Lily,
who is a plot hound, which I'd never heard of before. And Jessica and her husband, it's their dog, and it's a plot hound. Adorable. Can we take a picture?
Sure.
Sam's going to put a picture of a plot hound. So anybody thinking about...
No, I'm not going to put it on the blog. I'm going to take a picture.
Just take it for home because you're going to get a dog. Now, I turned Sam on to Real Simple Magazine. I think he's going to get hooked.
Yeah, watch out, folks. There's a good chance after I get back from vacation... Josh will be gone. Mark and Jessica will be here. Justin, of course, will be here. There's a very good chance that most of the show will be dedicated to home improvements.
Yeah, what are you going to do with my desk?
What am I going to do with that?
Yeah.
I'm going to send it to Janice.
Oh, right. Okay.
She won it in the guessing how many times we were going to play that Joe Lieberman commercial that Ned Lamont put out.
And what was the answer?
It turned out to be six.
Five.
Five? No, I think it was six, buddy.
How about this commercial?
Justin won't be with us back.
Remember this? This is one of my favorites when I talk about SoCo. Pretending there's a trend of SoCo Lime, Southern Comfort Lime, as if people all over SoCo Lime.
And you know what the scary thing is? I went back, I'm from Madison, Wisconsin, and I went home, and, you know, it's a college town, and the college kids were ordering all over the place SoCo Lime.
And
it was unbelievable.
But which came first, the chicken or the egg? Which came first?
All right, let's turn it off.
It was completely true, and it was the freakiest thing ever, because I had first heard of SoCo Lime from you playing that on your 360, and then I actually went and was in some kind of campus bar and people were ordering Soko Lime, and I had never heard of it.
Remember this, how much I like this so much?
Your sister's getting engaged, and you're sitting here watching this skinhead boy.
Mom, it's Beckham's corner.
Bend it like Beckham! Remember, whenever I was sad, I was like, I'm putting on the Bend It Like Beckham. Because you can't be sad when you're listening to the Bend It Like Beckham soundtrack or watching the movie, because all those nice, wonderful young people, things work out for them in the end, and I like that. I'm not made of wood, people. I enjoyed Bend It Like Beckham. You know what else? My so-called life. Got them all memorized. I still cry like a baby at most of them. I love my so-called life. Okay, what else? What else was one of my favorite some things here?
Get off my land!
Dave Cross.
Yeah, you get played this property. Quite a bit over the course
Leave
of your career.
Leave me alone! Liberal two-run media!
That's going to be the last time you get to use that.
Get your balls out of your purse.
This is how I feel when I watch
Suicidal Tendencies.
I got it, I know. Okay, okay. I don't like this one.
All right, we only have a minute left.
This is a good song. I need some water. Thank
you. Josh, anything you want to say in your final moments?
Not really, no.
Thank you. Okay, yes, there well is. Done. Come on.
What was your favorite memory at Air America Radio? Sum it up in about 15 seconds.
My favorite, well, I was talking about earlier tonight. One of my favorite on-air memories was when Eric Alterman sent back a martini live on the air at the Aspen Comedy Festival.
That was good.
Because he ordered it with a twist, but it was delivered with olives.
Oh, right. Sometimes people like onions. Sometimes people like olives. Now, Sam Cedar is
Janine,
a man
what was
who
your
likes
favorite?
Vodka.
What was your favorite memory?
Actually, there's a lot of them. Eddie Vedder. When we went to the Democratic National Convention,
that
when we
fun.
Went to Aspen, I enjoyed.
That was fun.
Howard Zinn.
Howard Zinn.
Gosh, I know there's stuff. Oh, the night when we yelled, forget about it. We had everybody call in.
Oh, yeah.
To
during
yell
the,
out
the
or mad
the
as hell, I'm not going to take it or forget
State
about
of the
it.
Union, I think it was.
Yeah, and we had people yell and phone in to yell. I loved that.
That was fun.
The night of the election, I enjoyed, except for the theft.
Right.
Of
the part about the
part about the fraud. And the theft of the election.
We had good finger food, though.
All right, well,
we did. And Crowbar, that time with Crowbar, and I had a bad back, and I laid on the floor and did the
Janine,
show.
Janine, thank you for giving this opportunity to be on radio.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you for everything you did for this country prior to the war.
Thank you.
Josh, thank you for producing the show over the past years.
Thank you, Josh.
And being a bedrock.
It's the best bike vacation ever.